about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, this program is for you, not your children.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It was the biggest mistake of my life. I was all by myself. I was sending a boyfriend at the time who I loved and cared about, video of me. And, yeah, I was a teenager at the time. And, never did I think it would ever come out. But it was bad judgment, and it's embarrassing.
Now that's well-performed comedy.
Hey, Mike, we all talked it over, and we're going to need you to shut the thing.
He's finding that back door open. He does not need much space to get through that door, my friend. He is so little, he can squeeze by if it's just open a crack.
And now,
hey, Cat.
Our feature presentation.
Maybe my new favorite drop.
Really the best noise I've ever heard out of a person coming on a phone that I wasn't paying $5.99 a minute for.
I must be honest. I'm very impressed with that.
We talked about how I did not enjoy South by Southwest. Kat did.
Yeah.
She did it right.
I can't believe she came back in anything other than a body bag. I got to be honest. When I saw the pictures that she was posting from South by Southwest, I thought, well, she's not going to make it to the end of the week. She needs to cut. She needs to cut now and come home. But she hung out. I mean, she stayed the whole week and ended up. Where did she vomit? She vomited. Was it in a club or in a cab or what happened?
What? I didn't even know that happened.
I got the vomit story was at a pool, like a poolside after party. At one of the hotels, not one that she was staying at.
Yeah, good times. Hey, we're going to take your telephone calls for the Wednesday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. A couple of lines are open if you want to join us. If you can hear the show, you can be on the show. Pick up the phone and call toll-free 1-800-520-1067. We'll go to your calls in 1 minute. It took a lot of years, but I think I finally found a worse wedding toast than the one that we saw when we went to our former producer Lightning's wedding, Lisa. You remember the toast
that his brother
wedding?
Yeah. Was making.
For folks who haven't heard this story before, Lightning, who now runs KevinandBean.com, was our producer for many years, long before Alex. And we went to his wedding, and his brother, who was very drunk at the time of the wedding, got up and gave a toast that was long and rambling and sad. And we ended up having to take the microphone away from him. I mean, literally, I don't remember who it was, but one of us had to go and just, literally pull the mic out of his hand because he was – I guess he kind of had a crush on Lightning's wife at the time or something. He was like,
it should
have been me. And it was him. And it's not fair. I mean, this was the
mom
toast.
Mom and dad always liked it better.
Exactly.
He gets everything.
You've got a cool
anything.
Job, too. You've got a cool job. And now you've got a beautiful woman. It's terrible.
Exactly. So I thought that was – I thought I would go to my grave with that being the all-time worst wedding toast because how do you top that, right? Completely inappropriate, out of control. Well, there's a story now that comes out of Russia that just happened this week, and it says in the article, it may be the worst wedding toast of all time. The guy got up and did a little comedy routine where he pretended to play Russian roulette with an unloaded handgun, okay? Now, I don't know what the context was. I don't know how he worked that into the discussion about the newlyweds or something like that. But he pulls out a gun, puts it up to his head, pulls the trigger. Nothing happens, thank God. Somebody else at the party says, hey, I want to try it.
Oh.
And then you can see where that story is going. Of course, the guy who gave the original toast, told police afterwards, well, I thought it was empty. I never would have done it if I had known that there were bullets in the chamber. I had no idea. Are you kidding me? But it's right there at the wedding reception, right there on video, now apparently on YouTube, unless it's been pulled down already. I haven't gone to look. But the other guest took the gun, pulled the trigger. You can see him fall into the ground, and everybody at the ceremony is like, that's got to put a damper on the rest of the ceremony, right? When you got a guest that drops dead like that.
Well, I don't know how good of friends are they with the groom?
Well, I don't know either.
Yeah, damper on the wedding, but damper on the marriage depends.
Oh, I think the marriage would be fine, but I do think
unless
that
it's his dad or her mom or something.
I do think it's a story that they laugh about for the rest of their lives, though.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah,
glasses of wine. Wait till you hear what happened at our wedding. I mean, they are going to have an awesome wedding day story to tell. But
oh my god, how hard is it to unload a gun?
I don't know. It happens all the time.
It does.
People who are cleaning a gun and get shot in the leg or something. I don't know why you can't look at it. Explain it to me, Michael.
A non-revolver handgun, you can look at the magazine and it could be unloaded and there could still be a bullet in the chamber.
In the chamber.
But you don't play Russian roulette with that. You play Russian roulette with
a revolver.
And that's almost impossible to not check and see if it's loaded. I mean, it's like an infant could see that there's no bullets in the chamber. You take the barrel out, spin the thing
like they do in the cowboy movies.
Yeah.
TV a thousand times.
So I don't know. But look, if someone has a heart attack and dies or, you know, suddenly at a wedding, that's bad enough. A face shot at close range where, brains and stuff splatter all over the place, that's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even for Russia. Anytime soon. Yeah.
If you take anything away from today's Kevin and Bean Show, we do try to leave you with one little nugget of wisdom each day. It's don't play Russian roulette at a wedding. I mean, that's not too hard to get you to
save
agree.
Save that for a small party at home.
1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, get on the air, get a prize today. It's a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. Why don't we start with Michelle while we're talking about weddings. Michelle has some big news for us. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, what it do? I'm getting married today.
Yay!
Oh, congratulations.
What's up with that?
Who gets married on a Wednesday?
People that go to the courthouse to get married.
Oh.
All right. So yes. What's going on? What's the deal?
Well, we've been together for like 6 years, and we have a daughter, and she's actually joining the Army, and so we're doing the whole getting legally married. We never really considered being married before. My mom's married like 7 times, so it kind of wasn't important to me, and now we're finally tying the knot.
Wow. How long have you guys been together?
For 6 years.
6 years, and you're getting married today. Well, congratulations. No Russian roulette at the wedding, all right?
None. And I want to just let you guys know, I've called in before. The day you guys, I asked you to be funny for my boyfriend.
Oh, that's right.
I remember that.
So we're them, and now we're getting married.
He doesn't still listen, right?
He still does on occasion. He doesn't wake up that early, so...
Yeah, that's what he says. We had one good day.
Exactly. Well, good luck to you, Michelle. Congratulations, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Let's try Sandra calling on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sandra. Thanks for calling. What it do?
Guys, what it do?
What it do?
I was calling to see if you guys are watching the hottest new show on TV, Justified.
Yeah, Justified's pretty dope.
What's Justified?
Justified is with Timothy Olyphant. It's on FX.
Oh.
So hot, and he is so hot, and it's so cool.
It's a Western, right?
Really, really good.
It's kind of, maybe you could explain it better, Sandra, because I only have half watched a couple episodes.
It's kind of like a modern-day Western, kind
it
of.
It is, but he goes into Miami, so it's like he's... kind of got the Western ethic, but he goes into like urban areas.
Right. He starts out in Miami. He's a marshal, and he's, you know, he's kind of a badass, and he gets kind of demoted and sent back to Kentucky where he comes from. So then he encounters a bunch of hicks and so on, but it's just...
I like him. He's great.
Yeah.
It's really sort of shoot 'em up and sexy, and it's just really, really the hottest show on TV. You guys have got to be watching if you're not watching.
Thanks for the tip. I will put it on my TiVo.
I don't know how long you've been working for FX, but you did a nice job today. Thank you very much. You know, it's funny. I was thinking the other day as I was watching Breaking Bad. I was thinking, in some respects, it is the golden age of television. There are so many great quality shows on right now. And in other respects, it's the worst time in the history of television because there are some of the worst shows ever made on at the same time.
The best thing about TV right now is that there's 500 channels and so much to watch. The worst thing about TV right now is that there's 500 channels and so much to watch, you know?
Exactly.
It's true.
All right, let's try one more. Let's try Yoshi.
Hey!
On line 1. Hey, Yoshi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Hey, I lived in East L.A. for 20 years and then made the mistake of going to Scottsdale for 2 years. And I just
As in out. Arizona?
Arizona.
Okay.
Have you guys ever been? I just don't get it. Like, and I went out to the pool party scene at the W and stuff, and you see all these people that think they're all that. And I just don't get it because, you know, they obviously have money. They must have traveled to Hollywood and understand what the nightlife is here like, you know? And then they go back to Arizona and they think they're like all that and they're posing by the pool. Then you turn on the radio and you listen to like the, you know, their top 40 station and their idea of the happening club is all 18 and over. And I just don't get it. I don't know if you guys have been out there.
I've been to. I used to live in Phoenix, so I've been to.
Oh, okay.
There are people who think they're all that everywhere, though. I mean, that's not exclusive to Scottsdale. There were people where you used to live who thought they were all that. It's just it's an attitude that some people have, and there are certainly some people who develop some sort of pride in their city, too, in their neighborhood, and believe that it's the best place in the world and everything else sucks, too. You're going to run into that everywhere you go. You just got to avoid those kind of parties if you don't like them.
I mean, if you go to New York, they don't think that we know where it's at. At all.
Oh, no, certainly. But, you know, these people are obviously well-traveled, and yet, you know, I just don't know.
You're hanging out with the wrong kind of people then, dude. Cut them loose.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, thanks for the call, Yoshi. Good luck to you. Play some Russian roulette. It'll cheer up your whole day. All right, today's Kevin and Bean Show. I can't wait to get into this. Everybody's got a piece of paper on their kitchen table right now from the United States government that is a census form.
Yes.
It's required by law for the government to conduct a census every 10 years. And it's required of each citizen to fill out the census. Boy, is there a backlash this year. Boy, is there a movement to not tell the government how many people live in your house.
It's do people get what happens when you do that?
I think that's what it is. They don't understand. They think that you're somehow now on some government list.
Yes.
Or you're being monitored by it. And it's to help you and help the city and help the state and help the country.
I heard Mayor Vieira goes to talk about it yesterday. And 10 years ago, when we did the census, 78,000 people, they estimate, were not counted. Which meant that $200 million did not go to the city of L.A.
Right. Well, this year there are people who – there's so much anti-government frenzy right now. Some of it is the polarizing man in the White House. But some of it is just, hey, too much government, leave me alone. That movement is really picking up steam. So we definitely want to talk to some of those people today because I think that's fascinating, the people who are standing up and not filling out the census form. And I got some great tape, by the way.
They owe me some money. That's all I'm saying.
Some great tape from a congresswoman who says,
a congresswoman,
fill out the census form and you might end up in a Japanese internment camp. That's what she's saying. So that's coming up on today's show. Also, one of our all-time favorite Kevin and Bean guests. Nothing but good times when our friend Joe Rogan stops by. Woo! He'll be here later on today. I'm sure he's paranoid about something. I'm sure there's some end of the world that only he can see that he'll share with us later.
You're going to talk MMA?
Yes.
Exotic animals and hallucinogens. Those are the three things we're going to touch on for sure.
Got a brand new internet roundup today, courtesy of the King of Mexico. And we'll talk to a Kevin and Bean listener who wants to put your minds at ease. His life was saved because he has a coworker with Asperger's syndrome. Mm-hmm. How about that? I know you think it's nothing but bad news when you work with somebody with Asperger's.
Well, so far.
Bill is going to tell you otherwise.
No! No!
Yes! That's all coming up. Plus, Ralph's got our first look at the Showbiz Beat right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But I think they provide
him
with an
escort. He needs to wear like a storm super suit from Star Wars.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
We're missing that excitement that talk about your Russian roulette, not knowing what's going to happen when you turn on that mic. We're missing Kevin this week. I'll tell you that. But I think we have an update on how his vacation is going. We got his personal assistant Linus on the show later today to tell us what's going on with him. So, hey, Ralph Garman, how you doing, man?
Well.
What's happening?
Not as well as Matthew Vaughn. I don't know if you guys know or not, but the director who directed Kick-Ass, which I saw this week, by the way. We'll talk about it more in the movie beat when it comes out. But he is married to supermodel Claudia Schiffer.
Oh, nice.
Dude. And you would think that would be a good deal.
Yeah.
I would hope, yeah.
It has its downsides. Matthew Vaughn, of course, is doing a lot of press for Kick-Ass. And he said that being married to Claudia is mostly good. However, he lives in constant fear for his wife because she has stalkers, crazed stalkers. Mm. And he said it's a real concern. You live in fear that someone's going to do some violence to your wife when that situation arises. He said the worst situation by far was the morning that he was greeted with a crazed stalker at his own kitchen table. Came down for some breakfast. There was a dude sitting there in his kitchen.
Wow.
That's cool.
Oh, he said his original thought was just to go off and try to, you know, tackle the guy and take him out. But he said he resisted the urge and made the guy a cup of tea instead. And while the pot was boiling, he made a casual call to authorities who showed up to take care of their new family friend. So he said it can be scary sometimes being married to a supermodel.
This is why I went a different route. This is why I chose not to marry a supermodel. Because I don't need the hassle in my life.
Right. I know you had the option.
Right. I could have done any number of them. Right.
Sam Worthington.
Say it, Mike.
In his dog spot.
Maybe I just leave the donut hole. Of course, Star of Avatar and the upcoming Clash of the Titans. Release the Kraken! Is not a good driver. Apparently, he can swing from trees as a blue cat, but he can't navigate the streets of Southern California. He's had a few accidents already while driving, so a friend bought him a bicycle. And Sam says he uses it. He gets around town on a bike. He said he looks like the witch from Wizard of Oz. Has a basket in the front and everything while he's driving around. So he said he's fine not driving the car because he's not good at it.
It's not a decision I would make to ride a bike, but in Los Angeles in 2010, if that's where Sam lives, I think it would be faster in many cases to drive around town on a bicycle than it would be to drive.
Depends on where you're going, I guess.
But anywhere, you know, Hollywood to Santa Monica with a gridlock, I almost think you could make it faster on a bike.
I don't know. That's a far away.
I'm not going to try it. I'll tell you
far,
that.
Far away. I thought it was interesting. There was a guy who... We recently had the L.A. Marathon here in town, and they changed the route this year. Took it from Dodger Stadium down to the beach in Santa Monica.
Right.
And because of the change in routes, the traffic situation was worse than ever. So there was a guy who got in his car and started at the starting line and drove parallel to the course when they kicked it off, and he actually just barely beat the first runner who won the marathon. It took him as long to drive the 26 miles to the beach as it did most people to run the 26 miles.
That's
to the beach.
Funny. Oh.
So there may be something to say for
that. That's funny.
Kim Kardashian.
Glendale.
And Reggie Bush.
Yes.
Apparently are off again. The on again, off again couple. We can switch that switch to off. Insiders
this
are telling
week.
E! Online that they've parted ways again pretty much for the same issues. She loves the limelight, has a crazy work schedule. Reggie doesn't feel so comfortable in the public eye. Although spies have seen Reggie partying up in New York. Despite their differences, rumor has it they still love one another very much, but apparently just can't make it work.
Hmm.
I get a feeling Reggie doesn't want to settle down either.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you?
I get that.
Why would you? Exactly.
Once your career's over, then you get married.
That's right.
Did you guys see Lost last night?
Oh!
No.
Best Lost ever.
Yes.
No. Best Lost ever.
That is not hyperbole.
Best Lost ever and had nothing to do with any of the main characters. It was all about Richard last night. Best Lost ever. Ever.
Well, I hope that's so. I will watch it. I'm so close to dumping it, but
I'll so wrong, by the way. This season has been amazing.
But
this
season
wrong.
Has been unwatchable, well, has but been I will watch last night's episode.
I'm more on Ralph's side than Beans.
That don't get to.
It hasn't been as bad as Bean makes it out to be, but there has been some slow parts, and they haven't been giving us as many answers as they wanted to give us at the beginning of the season. But Bean, last night, I'm telling you,
I'm going to watch it.
It all came together. It.
No, you don't get to watch it now. Someone take it off the TiVo. Someone take it off.
No, I'm allowed to watch.
No,
I'm
just saying. Not with your bad attitude.
I feel
it's unwatchable.
It has been terrible this year. It really has.
No, that's not true.
It has. It's been awful.
Look at my Christmas tree still up. Oh, look at me. I dress like a wolf. No.
I have enjoyed the fresh air and the freedom of being American Idol less the last couple of weeks, too, which has been great. I've really felt good about that. So
don't try to deflect our well-learned scorn for you.
I'm going to watch the freaking Lost. Look, there's only a few episodes
left.
Yeah, to say Lost is terrible this season is stupid.
It's the worst season yet. You got to at least agree with that.
What about the two fruit cutters who came out of nowhere that were living on the beach and all of a sudden everything was about them?
Yeah, that
Brendan
was pretty weak.
Jenny or whatever. The two that were buried in the diamonds on the beach.
The program has varied in quality throughout,
but I
will tell, overall, it's been a great series. I'm just saying it has not captured my attention this year at all. That's
you're
sure.
wrong.
You're also a bug pirate.
That too.
Oh.
So anyway, Evangeline Lilly, talking about the show, of course, as things wrap up, said that she believes in karma and dharma, but mostly karma. She stole a prop from the set. She said she thought if she took the letter that Sawyer writes to the con man who ruined his family's life, if she just stuck that in her pocket and held on to that, eventually be worth a lot of money in the long run. Lost fans would pay a pretty penny for that on eBay.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be a nice memorabilia, sure.
She felt pretty strongly about that until the house she had rented there in Hawaii burnt to the ground.
Oh.
And the fire burnt the note inside as well. And she said now she's just got a bad vibe about taking anything that doesn't belong to her, so she's no longer going to steal any props from the set.
Yeah.
I guess the island is going to tell her what she can and can't do,
That's
even
right.
in real life.
Notice the captain of the Black Rock last night, Mike, is named Hansu. Captain Hansu. The guy who started Dharma is named Hansu.
Come on! Come on now! God, I love that show.
And yes, fans, that was Nick Nolte going through dumpsters in Hollywood the other day.
Why?
Well, friends tell Star Magazine that he's not down and out. He's not looking for food. He's just eccentric and likes to go through dumpsters and see what he can find.
No.
It's like a little adventure for him.
I don't buy that.
That's real talk right there, man.
I don't buy that.
He likes to shop in dumpsters. He likes to investigate. He thinks it's fascinating what people throw away. And he likes to
That's
little excursions where he gets to sift through people's garbage and see what's in there.
Is he currently homeless?
No, he's not.
He's not? Okay.
He has a lovely home up in the hills. But he does like to investigate into people's refuse.
Okay.
Speaking of refuse, Mike, did you know the bathroom out there on the carpet? It's all wet for some reason.
No,
Vic
this time. Tom
says, be careful, wet carpet.
Sure I did. Yeah.
I said, this must be part of Mike's hilarious comedy. He must get together with his friends, light some farts, and then pee all over the carpet.
That's normally, I'm the one who's responsible for ruining the plumbing here and doing all the bathroom stuff. But this time I had nothing to do with it.
I came in and asked, and he didn't even know about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
No. Well, did we change Mike's litter box? Has anyone looked into that? Maybe that was the problem.
I have not. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Comedian Louis Anderson is 57 years old today. Louis, from time to time when he's in town, I think he lives in Las Vegas full time, but Louis Anderson, for those of you who don't know, is a longtime comedian. Big, big fella. Not little.
No.
Right.
He works out in the boxing gym I work at on occasion, and he has a kickboxing instructor. And you haven't lived until you've seen Louis Anderson kicking a heavy bag, getting his foot about 3 inches off the ground, kicking a heavy bag. It's
awesome.
Just endlessly entertaining.
Is he just sweating like Shaq at the end of the game?
You have no idea. He is just... water just pours off the boy.
Aww.
Yeah. It's entertaining. Robert Carradine, very talented actor, is 56 years old today. Actress Kelly LeBrock.
Oh.
Remember Weird Science?
I sure do.
Yeah. Man. Kelly LeBrock, by the way, one time married to Steven Seagal. That's all you need to know about her life.
They met on the set.
She is 50 years old. Personality, TV personality Star Jones is 48. She had a little ticker problem, by the way, recently. She had a little heart surgery on St. Patrick's Day, and unfortunately, she's okay. Lara Flynn Boyle turns 40 years old today.
Fat.
Anti-fat.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the opposite
okay, sorry.
Of fat. The black hole of calories. Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory is 37 years old today. I'm surprised that dude's 37.
Yeah, he doesn't look 37
I might have to source this number, because 37, Jim Parsons, you know, the skinny dude. We're talking the skinny dude on the Big Bang Theory. Looks like he's about 12.
Oh, I just put that number there.
Oh, I just guessed. I don't know. I'm just putting down ages now. Allison Hannigan, our good friend from How I Met Your Mother and Buffy, she's 36. Colts QB Peyton Manning is 34 years old today. Actress Lake Bell from How to Make It America and Boston Legal is 31. And actress Keisha Castle Hughes from The Whale Rider.
She is 20 years old
today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, not that I'm counting, but it's 12 days, 9 hours, and 58 minutes till the start of Major League Baseball for the 2010 season. I couldn't more excited. I already have a bunch of tickets to go see my Mariners this year. And spring training is you know, going on right now, and baseball is doing everything it can to import the love of baseball from this country to other countries around the world. And one of the things they've done this year is play exhibition games in Taiwan. In fact, right now, the Dodgers and the Cubs just wrapped up a series in Taiwan to try to introduce our version of baseball to the fans over there. Not a lot of Dodgers names that you recognize on the squad, but our friend Manny Ramirez was one of them, and we thought we'd find out what his experiences was like playing baseball in Taiwan. And Mr. Ramirez, outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Manny, what are you doing?
All right, I'm a race car.
You're not a race car. What's going on, Manny?
I'm Manny Ramirez. I'm outfielder of Los Angeles Dodgers. I love Taiwan.
Oh, you did? Did you have a nice time over there? I know you played real well against the Cubs.
All right. He made a home run. Okay.
Yes.
I have a lollipop.
That sounded like a horn.
That's what it was. It was a horn. All right. I have both. I have dreadlock like Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz is black and Jew. All right.
Mary, one of the things that we heard is when they came to the Dodgers and they said, who wants to go to Taiwan to play spring training baseball over there? Not a lot of hands went up, but for some reason, you and a bunch of minor leaguers played. What's up with that?
Because, pretty lady?
Yes.
Are you my sister?
No.
You want to be my sister?
No.
You're my buttercup. All right. My little buttercup has a sweetest smile. All right. Three Amigos, great American movie. I love L.A.
Manny, I was asking why none of the other day-to-day players for the Dodgers wanted to go, but you volunteered to go to Taiwan. I'm trying to figure out why you wanted to go there.
Because sometime when I go outside in the cold, my tongue will stick to the swing set. Okay.
Is anyone?
Bum 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 bum
us, huh, Manny?
Are you my sister, pretty man?
No, I'm not your sister. That doesn't even make any sense.
I have a Vespa. You want to ride on my Vespa? We can go to the store and buy more lollipops. Licky, 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 like a lollipop.
Manny, I feel like we sometimes waste our time.
My Vespa has ice cream paint job.
I'm very happy for you. I was hoping we might be able to talk some baseball today.
All right, let's do it. I love hit home runs.
Yep. You do like to hit home runs. I'm just asking. So you're healthy and excited about the season? You're going to try not to get suspended this year?
I sure am. Everybody very excited to play baseball. That's why I got lick-em-up stick. Ha, 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 ha.
All right, Manny, I think we've done as much damage as we can here.
I got a lollipop. Rah, rah.
Welcome to the Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. If you fill out your census form, I hear that you're authorizing the government to audit you through the IRS every year for the rest of your working life. That's what I understand, is you're basically saying audit me.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Huh. So we'll find out reasons why you're not filling out the census coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean show. And our friend Joe Rogan joins us later. First, though, time for the Kevin and Bean Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That's the number, 24 hours a day. You call us, leave a message, we play it back on the radio. Every time we talk about Wing on the show, who's our favorite singer.
Mm-hmm.
We got a bunch of calls on the Afro line from people who love Wing, and they immediately go to her website. Here's the first of those.
Hey guys, I'm on wingmusic.co.nz, and I went and clicked on the tab that says Beatles because I wanted to hear her Beatles classic. But if you look at the tab, it says Battles, B-A-T-L-E-S, classic. Mm-hmm. I love Wing.
Her spelling is as good as her speaking. That's the thing about Wing. Oh, speaking of that, here's one more. A Wing
fan.
You
know what I was just thinking? Why don't you guys have Wing sing the Don't Bogart the Joint song? That would be crazy.
That would be
we
awesome.
We talked about that, actually.
Producer Alex has tried really hard to get her to do some songs for us, some custom songs for us, songs that we suggest. But so far, she's pretty much, she's pretty set in her ways in terms of the songs that she's comfortable singing. But we are going to continue to work on it because that would be, of course, anything Wing sings is amazing. And you haven't checked her out. You've got to go to kevinandbean.com and check out some of the Wing stuff because she's amazing. Look, just because you see something on TV doesn't mean it's my fault, all right?
Hey, Bean, I'm watching NBC's Parenthood and some kid just got diagnosed with Asperger's. Good job, man.
Have you noticed, by the way, whatever show you're watching, that Asperger's is now the hottest disease on television? Doesn't
it
matter
is.
Whether
it's everywhere.
It's House or Modern Family. Yeah. It's just coming up on every show. It's just crazy. I do know that we love it when you call the Afro line. We appreciate it. We did not need to hear this call.
Oh, man. Oh, man, I just farted and it stinks real bad. Oh, what did I eat? Hey, Lisa.
Yeah.
I disagree. We're going to need a lot more of those calls. The more of those calls, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, man.
Were you in the car with that guy when he dialed Mike? Is that what happened here?
I wish.
Speaking of Psycho Mike, you got you get your fair share of fan calls on the Afro Live.
I can't take this anymore. I have to let everyone know. Psycho Mike, you give me a boner.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the first step toward you two happy kids being together.
Yeah.
And another Lisa May fan.
Hey, Lisa May. I want to all over your face.
Oh! I didn't even even know how you would do that, young lady. Here's a, it sounds like a lawsuit just waiting to happen.
Hello, Kevin and Dean. I am an umpire as well. You were talking about Kesha. Kesha has stolen a song from me because I am a singer-songwriter. She stole my original tune, bleh, 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 and she turned it into blah, blah, blah with this stupid baby talk and the sexy breathing and auto-tune shit. I can't stand it. But I wrote that song. It was bleh, bleh, bleh. That speech is in litigation now.
He's doing his hilarious vampire chuck.
I like it.
Now that American Idol has essentially jumped the shark and Miley Cyrus has been their was their mentor on Last Night Show, how long before Kesha goes on to tell kids how to be famous and rich?
Oh, next week.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Songs. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter about quality, exactly. Doesn't matter about talent.
I don't know why I'd rub so many people the wrong way because it's just in my living room, but I still have my Christmas tree up, and I took a lot of abuse yesterday on the air, through the email, and apparently on the Afro line as well.
All right, Bean. I'll tell you what you can do with your Christmas tree. To leave all the ornaments on and leave all the lights on and shove it up your ass.
323-520-AFRO. That is the number. And finally,
he shoots, he scores. Hey, Cat.
Hey, Cat. Well done. Thanks for calling.
Why is that song so good?
I don't know. Phoenix at 106.7 K-Rock, the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:32. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got Green Day on the way, who, of course, are touring this summer. We also have Weezer, Bad Religion, and the latest from Stone Temple Pilots. Their new one is called Between the Lines. That's all coming up in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got sites that meet your view. And life's so hard that you'll start spewing Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I didn't read the article, but I saw a headline this week that said Americans now, on average, spend more time online than they do in front of their television sets. And there was a time when that wasn't the case, but that's going to be from now on. There's more entertainment on the internet than there is on television anymore.
No, I definitely am on my computer more than on my TV.
And you're in control.
It's unlimited.
You're in total control.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And that's why it's so tough to sift through all of the thousands and thousands and thousands of available choices out there to find out what's funny and what's good to watch. That's why we compile it for you about once a week with the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You can go to kevinandbean.com, see any of these clips that we're going to be talking about, and so much more. We don't even have time to put them all on the air. First, though, the fine folks over at Funny or Die, who do such a great job with their videos, have put up a new, what looks like a trailer for a Weird Al Yankovic biography picture. This is kind of in the tradition of the Doors movie or maybe the Johnny Cash biopic, I Walk the Line, or the Ray Charles movie, where they show Weird Al as a little kid growing into the superstar that he is. It's kind of a behind the music type Weird Al movie. Great casting too. Gary Cole plays his dad. Mary Steenburgen is his mom. Patton Oswalt shows up as Dr. Demento. Here's a little bit of Weird, the Al Yankovic story.
Hey, your mother found these under your bed. I told you to get rid of this filth.
You don't understand me.
Face it, honey. Our boy is weird.
I know he's weird. I think I've always known.
By changing the lyrics, making them about food, you could change the world.
Nobody wants to hear a parody song when they can hear the real thing for the same price.
Two words. Eat it.
There you go. And that's the real Weird Al, by the way, who's playing the record producer, who says there's no way you'll ever be successful. Oh, it's so funny. It's so well done. And, of course, it doesn't hurt that I love Weird so much. Speaking of Weird, our vice president, Mr. Biden, back in the news yesterday. This guy does not go more than about 2 weeks without saying something in front of a microphone and gets him in trouble. It's kind of hilarious, actually. And yesterday at the White House, when the president was signing the health care bill, Joe Biden introduced the president and did not realize necessarily how close he was to the microphone when he whispered something, shall we say, indelicate into the president's ear.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
This is a big bleeping deal, he said right there in front of the microphone.
Wow.
Well done,
Joe. He's great.
He's awesome. He's awesome. For those who like hockey, but only when there's fights, you don't really care about the sport. You don't care who wins or loses. You just like the excitement of grown men going at each other on the ice. Have we got a clip for you on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup? This happened recently in a game between the St. Louis Blues and the New Jersey Devils. It is a more than 2 minute bench-clearing brawl on the ice. Listen up.
Well, they're hoping they look like they might get tired, but now you're seeing that quick left by LeBlanc. And that blue piece there, you see Cam saying, not yet. We got lots left. That's just a little short, and that's why both fighters want to keep that left hand as straight out as possible.
I'm told we've hit the two-minute mark.
Is that right?
Wow.
This clip, by the way, has everything but Jim Lampley calling the fight. Come on.
Bang, bang, bang.
You got to check it out. It's awesome on the Internet Roundup. I love this clip, too. Here's a TV anchor who, I think it was St. Patrick's Day, and she's trying to lean forward to pinch the weather guy, falls right out of her chair. You'll love it.
Lean over here just for a second, Don. No, further. Come on, stick your hand out, because it's time to get your pinch. Oh, well. So much for that. Go on with the weather. Go on,
I'll go ahead and do the weather right now.
She just disappears under the desk, and not in a good way. I mean, she's just out on the floor, and her fellow anchors in the studio, they look down like they're going to reach down and pick her up, and she's like, no, just go on.
That's great.
Very funny. You got to see it to believe it. All right. Ben Folds is a very popular singer-songwriter. We actually played him on the Kevin and Bean Show a few years ago. He had a big hit record called Brick. He's an amazingly talented singer-songwriter piano player, and he's been doing something in concert lately that is, I think, is genius. He brings a laptop with him and hooks up to Chat Roulette. And he shows on the screen in the arena where he is as he hits the button and goes to the next person. Chat Roulette, for those who don't know, it's basically you hit a button and see somebody on a webcam somewhere, anywhere in the world, and they can see you. If you don't like it or you're done talking to him or whatever, or it's a guy with his pants down, which is what about half of them are, you hit the button and go on to the next guy. Well, he's doing this live on stage, Lisa, and he's singing about each person that comes up. So in the split second that he sees them come up on the screen, now he makes up a little ditty about them.
Wow, and that's pretty cool.
It's really, really, really well done. Here's a little bit of that from Ben Folds.
Hey, Ben. On the can. Is everything coming out all right? It's good to be regular, Ben. I hope you've eaten your brand, Ben.
That's up, Ben.
Guy on the toilet?
Yeah, look, I'm scared of the chat roulette. I'm not doing the chat roulette. There are too many things out there that I don't want to see. But you'll love this clip, and you have to check it out. Very, very funny at the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. Got time for a couple more. Here's another clip from Funny or Die, the great actor Bryan Cranston, who, of course, is the star of Breaking Bad. He, in this clip, is playing an Iraq war vet who's back from the war and has lost his sense of smell. So everybody decides how funny it would be at this party that he's at to fart on him because they figure, hey, he can't smell it. It goes horribly awry.
Now, I didn't do two tours of duty in Iraq just to come home to eat a bunch of farts, toots and poots, fanny biscuits, spirit of Dookie Smellington. And Matt here. Matt was kind enough to cook me up a batch of his cheese flap mushroom doo-doo stew, and he blew it right in my face.
You don't fart on a returning war vet, whether he can smell or not. Come on, because he can taste it. Let's be honest. And one more, I think this is my favorite of the whole batch, is the great Zach Galifianakis, who did the best monologue maybe in the last 10 years on Saturday Night Live when he hosted about a month ago. He has an internet series called Between Two Ferns, where he's playing like a low-budget kind of cable access guy interviewing big stars. He's got a whole bunch of them out there, and the latest one was with Ben Stiller. Ben is promoting his new film out there, and Zach just, well, he does what Zach does. I think you'll love it.
My guest today has been Stiller. Ben Stiller?
Yeah, Stiller.
It'd be cool if you, like, change your last name to They're Done That.
Yeah, right.
You get it?
I do get it, yeah. It'd be, if I was from the South, you're from the South, right?
Yeah.
Then it'd be better, because it'd be like, been there, been.
Are you making fun of the South?
Not at all.
Because people down there, wouldn't like that.
No.
And they're stupid enough to go to your movies. Bad start.
I think Zach is possibly the funniest guy in the world. Check out the whole of that video and everything else and more. It's Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup, kevinandbean.com. Please enjoy.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
That's pretty good. Hey, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 649. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Crazy census conspiracy theories. You're not going to fill yours out and tell the government what they need to know, are you, Ralph?
No.
You're not going to play their game, are you?
I don't want missiles sent to my house. Take me out. What happens? Undesirable.
That's right, man. It's what happens. Their way to get you into an internment camp. All right, that's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. The great Joe Rogan joins us later. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
I want to talk again about last night's loss. I got an email here from one of our listeners. Last night's loss, greatest loss ever. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Psycho Mike agrees. Ralph, you are so right about last night's episode. It's from listener Matt Rosenthal. Thanks for writing in, Matt. P.S. Bean is a douchebag, he says here. I wanted to run this idea by you because maybe someone can hear it and make it happen. Friend and I were talking about Lost after last week's episode and said ABC will probably want a spinoff because of all the review, the revenue that's generated by the show. I wasn't convinced, but after seeing last night's episode, how cool would it be to have a show just about Richard? Every season could be a new set of castaways and how the island tempts them, either corrupts them or redeems them. It could be the life and times of Richard Alpert. Just a thought. Keep up the good work. Love the show, Matt. How great would that be?
That's a great idea.
And you could have some of it back in like the 16th century
exactly,
or wherever.
The 1800s. Yeah. Way back in the 1900s. And I'm telling you something. Nestor, what's his name? The actor who
I don't know
Richard
his name.
Albert?
I don't know. Yeah. But I know who you're talking about.
Should be nominated for an Emmy
what
for last night's
actor,
performance.
Yeah.
What an amazing performance he gave last night for an hour.
I was under-impressed.
So, the Life and Times of Richard Alpert. Heard it here first. So when ABC announces it next year, boom. You say, knew it.
It's true.
I'm going to watch the show today.
Nope.
That I teamed last night. And I hope to rekindle my enthusiasm for the remaining episodes of the season. I haven't enjoyed it so much this year so far. It's been pretty boring.
Keyboard cat. Come on.
You've been played off.
Grab some pine.
Exit stage right, please. Shut your goddamn mouth.
Thank you. Speaking of ABC, you know, they took over where NBC left off with Scrubs.
Right.
Well, this comes from Zach Braff over his Facebook page. Many of you have asked, so here it is. It appears that new Scrubs, Scrubs 2.0, Scrubs with new kids, Scrubbier, Scrubs without JD, is no more. It was worth a try, but alas, it didn't work. ZB, he posted that today. So apparently, Scrubs 2.0 has been canceled. No more Scrubs.
It's weird. Scrubs loved that show, watched it for years, but when they rebooted for this season without Zach, had no interest in seeing it anymore. He was the centerpiece for me, and I didn't even tune in. I didn't even watch the zombie Scrubs.
He was attraction for me, too. However, good news for ABC Dancing with the Stars. Monday night pulled in 24 million viewers who checked it out, the debut of the new season. Buzz Aldrin, former astronaut, was one of the competitors. Apparently, America loved watching him be a sleazeball coming on to his teenage dance partner.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
Yeah, I'm Buzz.
You know, there's a group called DialIdol.com that uses their technology to monitor phone voting for American Idol and other reality show programs, then they can tell you with pretty good reliability who's going to get voted off and who's not going to get voted off. We all assumed it would be Buzz Aldrin because, A, he's a creepy perv. He's an old perv.
Are you a pedophile?
And secondly, because he dances like Frankenstein with a load in his pants.
Right.
However, according to DialIdol.com, Buzz Aldrin will end up being one of the top three vote-getters of the week.
Really?
America loves creepy old grandpa touching little girls inappropriately.
Well, I don't watch
the pedophile Aldrin apparently will be second place with the phone voting.
He had the lowest dancing score, too.
Yeah,
he had a 14. Look, I don't watch the show, but isn't there a phenomenon with Dancing with the Stars where there are some people who just get mad love from the peeps? Because in his case, for instance, he's 80 and they think it's cool that an old guy is trying something like this.
Plus,
right?
There must be a large pedophile audience who probably relate with him and then wanted to call and support their fellow pedophile, creepy old perv dude. Probably why he got so many votes.
I love Mr. Aldrin. He deserves to be booted off that show. He is the worst dancer maybe I've ever seen on television or not.
But you don't mind that he's a pedophile. That's cool with you.
He's not at all. You're good with that.
That's what I heard.
It's the dancing you don't like.
That.
But the pedophilia, you're good with that.
Buzz Aldrin is so gangster.
Exactly.
Apparently, in first place in the vote getting, K Kate Gosselin, according, again, to Idol.com.
Really?
Yeah, and she was bad on the show, too.
Yeah, that's a surprise to me, and I thought everybody hated her.
Yeah, well, I guess people wanted her to stick around for a while.
What's up with that?
A lot of reports that she's a lot hotter in person.
What does that mean?
I'm just people I've talked to, they say you would not believe how attractive she is when if you meet her. But
I think she's cute. I think she's good-looking broad.
I mean, you know what's going on downstairs, right? I mean, it's just a mess.
All right, it's a cavernous.
It's a debacle.
It's Carlsbad Caverns down there. Stalactites and stalagmites. Bats living in there and hanging out.
Come on.
Gila monsters.
I actually am guessing she had a cesarean section for those babies.
Still. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Still.
It's a good point. You can't refute that, Lisa.
There's an interesting list from Forbes magazine of the top 10 most beloved spokes creatures in America. These are non-human spokespeople for products.
Oh.
Animated and symbolic.
Sure.
No, these are the top 10 most beloved spokes creatures, animals and characters and whatnot, in America.
Well, I know the one that immediately came to my mind. I'll see if it's on the list.
Well, why don't you say it out loud and we'll see if it's on the list.
I didn't want to incur your wrath if I was stepping on your... The Geico lizard. I love the Geico
lizard.
First
thing I thought of.
Fifth.
Really?
Okay.
Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Fifth on the list with a 42% favorability rating. The Taco Bell Chihuahua is not on this list.
Oh!
I think it's a little too foregone, a little too
right.
too past.
All right.
So these are all more current.
These
about
are more
the,
present.
How about the other Geico, the animated, the money with the eyeyeballs on it?
No, the googly eye stack
googly
of money.
Googly eye not on the,
not on the list. Geico Gecko, by the way.
Affleck.
Affleck.
Was tied with Aunt Jemima for fifth.
Wait.
They were tied for fifth. Affleck Duck Lisa was seventh on the list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so are these all animals, Ruff?
No, they're all objects. They're all creatures. These are animals or characters or cartoons or something. These are just spokes creatures. So they're not alive is what we're saying.
All right, who else you got?
Let's start with the 10th on the list, shall we? The Kool-Aid pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah!
40 years they've been using that.
Yeah. He is tied with the Nesquik bunny for 10th.
Oh, the Nesquik bunny.
Colonel Sanders. Which who was a real person, but isn't anymore, so I guess they consider him a cartoon character. Now, he is ninth on the list. Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The little elves from
those
Rice Krispies.
Those guys are good.
They've been around for a long, long time. Eighth on the list. As I mentioned, the Affleck Duck, the sixth and fifth that are tied, Aunt Jemima and the Geico Gecko. Number four, Mrs. Butterworth. Speaking of syrup, Mrs. Butterworth, who, of course, Kevin thinks was a slave for some reason.
She's a slave woman, right.
Slave woman. Third, he's great!
Yeah.
Tony the Tiger.
Is such a gangster.
He is.
Second, you're going to kick yourselves you didn't think of this one. Pillsbury Doughboy.
Ah, of course.
Little Pillsbury Doughboy. You just push him in the stomach.
Yeah. And that's another noise. It's another campaign that's been going on for decades, right?
Yeah.
No, but I have my
Buzz
two favorites.
Aldrin tried to do him, by the way, because he thought he was a little boy.
I have my two favorites. And if they're not number one.
I'm guessing they won't be.
Okay, Brawny Man.
No, not the Brawny Man. Not Mr. Clean either, you homo.
I was going to say Mr. Clean.
I'm sure you were, because he was all swollen.
He's
bald.
Buff and bald. He's clearly dancing down at a Santa Monica Boulevard.
That's what I'm saying.
Club.
With his earrings and everything. No, no, no. No,
how
no
about,
Mr. Clean.
How about that? I don't think he'll be number one, but the bird from Kloss and Pickles. Does he show up anywhere? Look at that little bird.
Yes, the Kloss and Pickles stork is America's most beloved spokes creature. You're absolutely right, Nate. He's just taking the world by storm, the beloved Kloss and stork.
I said I don't think he'll be number one. I just wondered if he was anywhere on that list.
That's all.
All right.
Crispy, crackety.
Now that's a pickle.
Here's a guess from Kevin Bean, affiliate relations employee, Jose. All right, let's see if Jose weighs in with number one.
We have an affiliate relations employee? I didn't know that department was still open. Up there on the 12th floor?
On the 12th floor, right.
Affiliate relations. I just went by there that day.
He wants to weigh in the Jolly Green Giant.
Jolly Green Giant is an excellent guess, but not in the top 10.
Toucan Sam.
Not on the list either, Toucan Sam.
I can't get over the fact that Bean guessed Biggle Bird that was based on Groucho Marx. Seriously based on Groucho.
Okay.
I just want to guess the Clausen Bird.
Did we already guess Tony the Tiger?
We did. He was second.
Right. He was on the list.
No, he was third. Pillsbury Doughboy was second.
Michelin
Man?
Try
to keep up, Lisa. Not the Michelin Man.
Oh, Michelin Man. That's another good one.
How about the Clausen Bird? Because he never
Well, are you ready for the big one?
All right, what's the big one?
Yeah,
all
what
right.
is it?
With 64% favorability rating, 64% of Americans love these dudes. The talking M&Ms.
Oh, lame.
Huh.
The talking M&Ms. They love the M&Ms.
We never would have guessed that.
They're no flossing birds, that's for sure.
Nope, certainly not.
Flossing pickle birds.
M&Ms.
Now that's a pickle. Today's birthday is comedian Louis Anderson's 57 years old today. Actor Robert Carradine is 56. Actress Kelly LeBrock, speaking of pickles.
Yeah.
She's 50 years old. Star Jones is 48. Lara Flynn Boyle from Twin Peaks fame is 40. You know, I was watching that. They showed on Sleuth, I think it is, the network on DirecTV that shows reruns of Twin Peaks. That show still holds up.
It's amazing.
It's a great show, especially the first season. Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory is 37 years old today. We sourced it, and he's actually 37 years old.
Wow.
Has there ever been a younger 37-looking
No, he looks good.
Dude in the world? Allison Hannigan, 36 years old. QB Peyton Manning from the Indianapolis Colts is 34. Lake Bell, talented actress from How to Make It American, Boston Legal, is 31. And Keisha Castle Hughes from The Nativity Story and Whale Rider is 20 years old. I'm Ralph Garman, and I log the movie beat, the show beat, too. What a pickle.
You like the Weezer? 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, it's 7:07. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Joe Rogan joins us coming up 1 hour from right now here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and then our exclusive interview with the Vlasic Pickle Man. All that. who's filled out their census form so far and sent it back? Anyone in this room?
I did.
Michael?
No.
You get it?
Yeah.
Okay. I got mine, too.
It's not complicated.
I know.
Super easy.
I know.
The
I
campaign,
have a lot of things to do.
The campaign suggested it's 10 questions in 10 minutes. I'm going to tell you, because it's information that you know off the top of your head, you don't have to look it up, you could actually fill it out in about three.
Yeah.
It's not a difficult form. For folks who haven't opened their census form yet, and there should be one on your kitchen table because they send it to every household in America, it's 10 questions, and about, I don't know, two or three of them are duplicates of the other two or three questions. Like, how many people live in this house? And then that is question number one. And then question number two is there anybody else that lives in this house that you didn't think about in question number one? So
right.
There really aren't that many questions on. They want to know how many people are in the house, how old they are, and what race they are. And I think that's it, right? That's the extent of
that's
everything
it.
That they ask. And they say, please give us your phone number if there's anything else that we have any questions or we can't read it or something like that. Now, the reason that they do the census, and it is required, it's in the Constitution that the U.S. government has to do a census, is for, well, there are a number of reasons, but the main one is to establish representation.
Right.
So that you know how many Congress people to send to Washington. I mean, that's the main thing. And federal funds are allocated so that you can get, you know, services in your community, streetlights and things
that's
like that.
A that's a big deal. There's a lot of money that each city gets according to the census.
Absolutely. You need to know how many people are living there in order to allocate all that money. All right. Now, that's where the boring part of this conversation ends, because now I'm going to turn our attention to the people that are out there, and there are quite a few of them who are saying, don't fill out the census. It's unconstitutional. Or don't fill out the census, because the government is going to use that information to somehow come after you. And there's a lot of those people out there. Here's an interview that aired recently on the Glenn Beck Show, which is where I go for most of my news, because that's fair and balanced. He's talking to a congresswoman from Minnesota named, I think it's Michelle Bachmann is the guest on the show. And she's talking about all the reasons why someone shouldn't fill out the census. And I found this fascinating. And I don't know if it's just that now we're living in an era where there's so much contempt for the government that people are just pushing back on anything that the government asks you to do. But listen to all the reasons why Michelle is suggesting you don't fill out your census.
Okay, so let me talk about the census, because there's a lot of people that are concerned with it because they don't want to fill it out. They don't want to give the government all this kind of information. It's up to a $5,000 fine. It's never, ever been enforced before. No one has ever received that fine. What are the odds that they are going to impose that?
Well, I don't know what the odds are, but I've made it very public what my position is. And I think there is a point when you say enough is enough to government intrusion.
Is it really government intrusion to ask how many people are in your house, how old they are, and what race they are?
And it's been happening since, what did I hear yesterday? Yeah. Every 10 years. It's not
right.
New. It's not a big deal. And by the way, when you do the race thing, I was listening to one of the heads of the Census Bureau who said it's actually how you self-identify,
oh,
which I thought was really interesting.
So you could put black.
Yes, I could.
Right. Okay.
And I did.
And I will. And I absolutely will. Right. I don't know. I mean, when she talks about the government intrusion, this is a Republican congresswoman who probably hates the current administration and doesn't want to cooperate with them in any way.
Well, he didn't create the census.
That's what's weird is historically, I don't understand how this is some new intrusion. I don't get it. And by the way, we're going to be taking your calls. If you have your reasons for not filling out the census or if you don't think we should fill out the census form and send it back, I'd love to know why. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Let's continue now with Ms. Bachman.
Does the federal government really need to know our phone numbers? Do they really need to know, like you said, the date and time that we leave, mental stability? You know the one question that's not on this survey, Glenn? Are you a U.S. citizen? This would be your perfect opportunity to find out how many illegal aliens are in the United States. Guess what? That's the one question they don't ask on this.
Hey, guess what, you idiot?
They wouldn't fill it out. What is wrong with her? No, that question.
Your resident status.
Can they, because I've considered not filling it out when I get it.
Thank you, Glenn. Well done.
I want to make sure that they don't use this as a loophole to, you know, say that I can no longer have a permit for my gun.
Okay. Now,
what?
How would that work? If Glenn Beck fills out, here's me, how old I am and what race I am, here's my wife, here are my kids, and we live at this address. How does that then get turned into somehow they're going to stop him from owning a gun?
That is insane. For one thing, they sent him the form. They actually know where he already lives, right?
But I mean, is that something that somebody like Glenn Beck would say so that he just kind of puts it out there in the atmosphere so that the people who watch his show will think, well, I heard that I can't own a gun if I fill out the census. I mean, is he just trying to kind of
throw it out there? Yeah, I think so.
I don't.
And, you know, one of the things that they said about the census as well, and anyone who doesn't trust the government isn't going to believe this, but they actually have some very tight restrictions in terms of this information. It doesn't go out of the Census Bureau to any other government agency.
Yes,
period.
They say that it's illegal for them to share the information with other government agencies. And if they find somebody has compromised your information, a census worker has given your information or shared it with anybody, it's a $250,000 fine on that census worker. But wait, you haven't heard the best part of this argument yet.
Et cetera, et cetera. Are there any other ramifications that you know of besides just the $100 to $5,000 fine?
Let me give you two ramifications, Glenn. The U.S. Census Department told my office that if you fail to fill out this form, you'll receive approximately 6 contacts for them, either through phone calls or they will knock on your door. If you still do not give them the information, they said they'll contact your neighbor to the left of you, to the right of you, to get information.
All right.
Here's the other thing that will...
Okay, before we move on to the other thing, they want everybody to fill out the census. So if you don't fill it out, they have follow-up. So actually, if you don't fill out the census... You're costing the government millions and millions of dollars in trying to chase you down to get the information out of you.
Right.
It's basically just wasting tax money to not send it out because they're still going to do all these other things to try to get the information. Here's the best part of all as to why you shouldn't fill out the census, though, from Representative Bachman in Minnesota.
Real quick.
From history, the United States government between 1942 and 1947 passed the Second War Powers Act. They used the U.S. Census information to round up the Japanese and put them in the internment camp.
Okay.
Americans were told that they wouldn't have their information used against them. They did.
Okay. Thank you very much, Congresswoman.
There you go, man. Fill out the census. Next thing you know, you're going to be rounded up in an internment camp with everyone who looks just like you.
That's true. You'll be living in a stable at Santa Anita Racetrack. It's true.
That's absolutely
true.
Well,
you couldn't tell if anyone was Asian except if you had a census form.
Let's talk to Lewis real quick. He's on line one, and then we'll take a break and come back with your calls. If you're not filling out the census, why or why do you think people shouldn't fill out the census? I want to know. 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Lou, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to let you guys know it's very unconstitutional to get that filled out.
But
as
it's in
the
Constitution.
That they have to send it out, though. What do you mean?
Well... Okay, it's only used to proportion the House of Representatives for each state.
And to get money for each city.
Well, but and that's fine. So you give a good head count, but you don't have to know age, sex, or religion. That has nothing to do with
there's
the amount
no religion.
Of money you're getting per head.
There's no religion.
When you start breaking it down into asking all these different questions, I mean, the 10 questions, all you need to know is how many people live in the house.
But Lou, seriously, tell me what your concern is with somebody knowing what race you are. And the reason they do that, by the way, is they want to look at a city. Say you live in Iowa City, Iowa, and they see that it's 14% black there. They want to know why the unemployment rate is 80% among blacks. I mean, that's the type of thing that they're looking for, is to figure out, you know, what's happening with race in America. Do you have a problem with that information getting out?
Right. Well, in a sense, like back in the 40s, surround up the Japanese. You know, they'll probably use it to create a false flag with all the crap going down at the border, and then use that to round up all the Mexicans so they
there
can
you go. That's what they're going to do.
Okay.
Exactly.
They're going
to start rounding up the Mexicans. All right. Well, now you won me over, Lou. I didn't realize you had that in your back pocket. Well done, my friend. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls. Why won't you fill out the census when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show? Right now, we're talking about all the reasons you should not fill out your census form. Corey writes in and says, hey, I heard don't fill out the census because the information could be used to house soldiers in your house during a time of war. If you answer and you show that you have a vacant room in your residence, the government can then take it over as a temporary barracks if needed. I hadn't heard about that.
They don't ask how many rooms you have in your house.
But they could see how many people you have living in your house, and they could calculate, Lisa, whether there's room for one more.
Okay.
Jim writes in, I totally support the Census 2010, a.k.a. Operation Mexican Roundup. Tell the King of Mexico and Psycho Mike they better hide now. So that's a little bit of what we're getting from the email. Let's see what's on the phones. Daniel calls in on the Kevin and Bean Show on line 5. Hey, Daniel, thanks for holding on, buddy. What's going on with you in the census?
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Psycho Mike.
What's up, dude?
Mainly what I think is they're using it to be able to know which minority they could get rid of.
Well, okay.
It sounds ludicrous, but...
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. Tell me how it would work, though, because I'm not smart enough to see this government conspiracy.
They probably saw that what Hitler did, I mean, it was horrible, but it worked. It got people on their feet, like a government with the worst depression ever. It got the government on their feet. Jobs were available. The military became incredibly strong.
All right, Daniel, let me interrupt. I'm trying to hang with you, but you telling them how old you are and what race you are, how does that help them round? I mean, how is that going to help them round up minorities? I don't understand.
Because they'll be able to know how many, how many others of this minority. Let's say, like in a city there were 300 Indians, but 700 Mexicans. It would be easier to get rid of the Indians than the Mexicans. So they would say, okay, let's go for the Indians.
Okay, why didn't they do that 10 years ago?
And 20 years ago, and 30 years ago, and 40 years ago.
Because they didn't have the problem of so many immigration. It was made, they were dealing with all these wars, Vietnam wars, and they couldn't exactly say...
Okay. All right, so you're saying this is the government's... they're dipping their toe into the genocide waters. That's why they're sending out the census this year.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds reasonable to me. We got to take some other calls, but thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try Corrine, line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Corrine. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I'm personally offended by the ethnicity thing. See, I'm Puerto Rican, and technically what Puerto Rican is European Spanish, which is white, black from Africa that were brought over to Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. and okay. Indians, and the native Indians that were in Puerto Rico before they were taken over. So right. you combine the three, and then equals a Puerto Rican. Now, you mean to tell me that being Puerto Rican isn't a race, but being native Hawaiian is a race?
It's not a race. It's an ethnicity. It's not a race. Yeah. So, Puerto Rican is not a race, but I don't understand what that has to do with the census, because you can check in question 8, you can check yes Puerto Rican in question
right,
8, and,
exactly.
and then in
yeah,
and then in question 9 you can write Puerto Rican if you want.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, there's a place to write in your own.
Right,
yeah.
But it says Hispanic origins are not races. So
that's true, though. But I mean, Corrine,
if I go to number 9, my options are white, black, American Indian, Asian Indian, Chinese, and all these other options. But there's no option for Spanish.
That's Corrine, it's not biological. Race is something that's biological, and they divide it into these categories that they have there. Your ethnicity, being Puerto Rican, is something that you could fill in on the next question. But from a scientific standpoint.
It's not a race.
It really isn't.
But you get the opportunity to be Puerto Rican on the census form. That's not enough?
Well, that's true. That's a good point. But I'm just saying, I didn't understand the difference. You know what I mean? But, you know, the way you guys are making it point out, it's pretty clear. But, you know,
Will you fill it out?
I'm going to be an ass and put in white, black, and American Indian. I'm going to check all of the boxes.
Oh, that's okay. Well,
whatever you check, you're going to end up in an internment camp, though. You understand that, right? They're rounding up various races, and they're separating them. I think
check
you guys
white
have to
because then you'll be safe.
Exactly. Thank you for the call, my dear. Let's try one more. Danny is on line one calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Danny. Thanks for holding on. What say you?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean?
Hi, Danny. Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we're just waiting for you to say something.
That the census is a way for the government to count how many American people there are so they can prepare for total annihilation against us.
There we go.
When the world goes out.
There we go.
You know, when anarchy happens, they want to know how big their army has to be. They want to know how many blacks are, because blacks got all the guns. We already know that.
All right. You're making sense. Preach, brother. Right. Preach.
I don't want Danny to fill out.
And then this health care reform thing, you know, they're making it mandatory for you to get health care. If you don't get health care, they give you a fine. If you don't pay the fine, you go to jail. And jail
health care
free anyways, right?
That's right. What the government is trying to do is they're trying to put every citizen in jail. That and the census is the first step. Are you with me, Danny?
I am with you.
USA! Listening to Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Joe Rogan in minutes. Ralph's got the Showbiz Report coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Halfway through my partner Kevin's vacation, and I can't believe we have him on the line. Usually he doesn't call in when we're doing a show, but I think we've got him ready to go on the air just right now. Kevin, are you there?
This is the home of Kevin and the Kevin and Bean Show. Who's this, please?
This is Bean.
Why are you calling the other one? Why are you calling?
Yes, it's me. Hello.
It's Lisa Linus.
Why are you calling Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show and ruining Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show's vacation?
He's
a very busy man. He needs his rest and relaxation, and you're impinging upon that right now.
We understood halfway through his vacation, which is where we are exactly right now.
Halfway through. And now you guys are calling Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show and impinging upon his vacation?
We just wanted to see what he was up to, see if he was having a good time. Tell him we miss him. We're looking forward to him coming back on Monday. That's
Kevin
all.
Kevin and Bean Show is up to not working with the other one and the woman. That's what he's up to. And he has every right to enjoy that time, and now you're impinging upon it.
No, we wanted him to enjoy it. We just
stop impinging.
We're not trying to impinge. We're not trying to ruin his vacation. We just wanted to say hello and see if he was having
no
a good...
time to say hello to you. Kevin and Bean Show is very busy right now. We've just got back from a long trip, and we're packing to leave again, so we're very, very busy right now. We just have no time to talk to the other one or the woman.
All right, Linus, what have you guys been up to? Where did you go, and where are you going?
We just got back from Nepal, where Kevin enjoys hunting the indigenous people there.
Wait, the people?
Yes, we round up the indigenous people of Nepal. We put them in a pen. And then we release them, and then Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show get the high power hunting rifle, and he gets an elephant, and he rides on the back of the elephant, and he hunts them down. And then he puts them over his mantle, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm cleaning and mounting the Nepalese head.
Oh, no, you're not actually killing people and bringing them back as souvenirs, are you, Linus?
Hello, we give their families silver ingots. What more do they need? They don't need more people. God. They need more money there.
Why do you have to go all the way to Nepal to kill people? Is it just off the radar? Is that why?
It's less problem with the authorities there. They don't mind so much.
That sounds like a hell of a vacation so far.
We grease
their palms. I understand. Wow.
But now we're packing up again. We're heading to India for a big monkey roundup.
Okay. Why would you go all the way from Nepal back to the United States so that you could then get in a plane and head to India?
Because we have to repack. And who said we're taking a plane, by the way?
Well, what would you be taking?
We're going by dirigible. That's the only way Kevin at the Kevin and Bean Show travels anywhere anymore.
Are you serious?
Giant inflatable airship.
I did not know that. Wow.
It's filled with hydrogen.
It sounds like it would take an awfully long time to get to India in a dirigible.
Well, it's rocket powered. He's got several NASA rockets that he purchased at some sort of yard sale they had down at Cape Canaveral. And he straps them to the back of the dirigible, and it gets us there in just mere moments. But he likes the hum of the motors and the size of the dirigible.
I see. It does seem like Kevin lives a far more exciting life than any of us are aware of, Linus. You must keep a lot of stuff from us.
He just doesn't remember much of it.
Well, that's true.
What it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You went to Nepal to hunt the natives. Why are you guys going to India?
For the monkey roundup. I told you, it's for the monkey roundup.
Okay,
India
what is
has
that?
The best monkeys. Everyone knows that.
Well, what are you doing? You're collecting monkeys? You're bringing monkeys back? What?
We round them up.
And do what with them?
We taunt them. We say, look at you. You're so close to us. You're so close to us when it comes to being a human being, and yet you're just off. You can't hold down a job or drive an automobile.
Why would you go all the way to India when you talk to taunt monkeys? You can just go to the zoo and see one in 10 minutes.
Because these we can taunt face to face with no bars between us. It's the thrill of the hunt.
And we taunt
them, and we get them all riled up, and then we leave. We go back in the dirigible, and we leave. And we say, look at us. we're rich and we have a dirigible and you do not, monkeys of India. And then he pelts them with gold coins and M&M's.
That sounds extremely satisfying.
Well, it is for the monkeys. They love M&M's.
I bet. It sounds like a lot of fun. Well, you're cramming a whole lot into this vacation.
Yes, we're trying to get going, but you're impinging.
All right, we don't mean to impinge. We'll let you get to your dirigible. Thank you for the update. We appreciate it.
Goodbye, the other one and the woman.
Goodbye.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Joe Rogan joins us in minutes. I know vacations aren't meant to be competitive, but I'm feeling a little bad about myself right now, Ralph. You know, I went to Mexico last week. I had a great time. Uh-huh. But now we just talked to Kevin's assistant, Linus. He's taking a dirigible to India to round up monkeys. Wow. I mean, he still kicks my ass with that.
That is better. Well, yeah.
Did you hear Linus? Kevin is throwing gold coins and M&Ms at the monkeys in India.
That sounds like a waste of M&Ms to me.
I know. Just a crazy time. Well, we'll look forward to the boy coming back on Monday and hearing all about it. Right now, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What you talking about?
Kevin didn't get to talk about the Vlasic pickle stork.
That much you
didn't get that conversation.
He missed out on that.
Getting
right?
A lot of emails, by the way. I know earlier we talked about the pickle stork as being a representative of Clausen pickles, but in reality, of course, he is the Vlasic pickle stork. So we've got that. We've corrected that. We've corrected that, and now let's all move on with our mornings. What do you say?
Still worth it.
That's the best pickle I ever had. I gave a list last hour of the top 10 most beloved spokes creatures in America. These were the non-human spokespersons for products in America. Well, I just got another list. Thanks so much to one of our listeners who sent me the top 10 most annoying spokes creatures of all time. Oh, most annoying ad characters of all time. Comes from Guyism.com is another website, and they did this in reaction to the Forbes list that I just mentioned, with the M&Ms topping the list, and the Pillsbury Doughboy, Tony the Tiger were the top three. These are the most annoying non-human spokespersons in American advertising.
I only have one guess for that list. Not a lot of them are coming to mind, and it's the Geico caveman.
Geico caveman, not on this list.
Not on the list.
No.
Okay.
No, number 10 is the Nasonex B.
I didn't even know there was a Nasonex B.
Oh, you have allergies, my sweet. What do you have there?
It's like a French bee who flies around for Nasonex?
FN.
All right. No? The Arby's Talking Oven Mitt was number 9. Chester Cheetah was number 8 on the list.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, Chester Cheeto.
Taco Bell Chihuahua, 7th on the list. Well, all Chihuahuas blow.
Nope. You know that. Wrong.
Best Pillsbury ones. Doughboy made 6th on this list. He was 2nd on the other one, but 6th
not
on
annoying.
This list, most
not annoying.
Annoying
at all. Adorable.
The old dancing guy from the Six Flags commercials.
Death to him.
But he's kind of human, isn't he? Doesn't that count? Now, I will not accept this. You know how much I love this guy. White Gold from the milk commercials. The guy
that's,
who plays the milk guitar.
Right.
The 1 gallon axe.
Having him on this list is just dumb.
Love him.
He rips so hard.
Number 3 is the General from General Insurance. The Laminated General.
Call 1-900-GENERAL now!
What has he done to deserve that? The Affleck Duck was 2nd on the list.
Yeah.
That's pretty annoying.
And number 1, the Domino's Noid.
Oh, yeah.
From way back in the day, the Noid. Avoid the Noid. Listed as the number 1 most annoying ad character of all time. So there you go. Hmm. You know who else is annoyed? Nice segue, Ralph. Sandra Bullock.
I can imagine.
Apparently, a source close to the couple says the marriage is over, says the headline today from E! Online. Trust is gone. Without that, it'll be impossible to remain married, a friend of the couple's told this source. It's not just the cheating, says this source, that has Sandra upset. It's who he cheated with. That Sandra cannot believe. After several bad relationships, Sandra believed she had found her Prince Charming, but it turns out he was just another frog.
Let me ask the woman, if you were married and your husband cheated, would it make a difference to you who he cheated with, Lisa?
Yeah, I think it would.
How come?
I think it would. Well, she's...
I think it's probably a matter of degrees. I think it would matter if she was completely heinous, like this woman is.
Right. And also, I mean, she obviously doesn't know how many times they were together or what the circumstances were, but obviously if it was like someone he met in a bar one night and he was had too
weakness.
Much to drink, yeah.
Right. Rather than an 11-month continuing
different.
Affair, right?
Right. And then with someone who's a dancer, who is now being paid to talk about.
What if a woman
what
has
happened?
A tattoo of a swastika on her stomach
don't
and
like
one
that
on her
either.
Face?
I would say no.
Yeah, that would probably be. I would think that would add insult to injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Cleo's chiming in here on the phone screener, and she says, no, he chatted.
He
and
what?
So she makes a good point.
She did right here, he chatted, and okay. He did chat. There's no getting around that. Once you chat, it doesn't really matter who you chat with.
I just want to get another woman's perspective. So.
Why can't she spell? Seriously. Does she have brain damage?
Here's the thing. Cleo is not dumb. I'm going to be the guy who says that on the air.
Cleo's
not a dumb
person.
Well,
she's not smart.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I work with her every day.
But the level to which she has no grasp of how to spell in English, it's unbelievable. I don't understand. Because I spell like crap.
Yeah, in English. What, in Farsi? She's a wizard?
She is, she is.
Oh, I didn't know. Right.
She wins spelling bees.
Speaking of this break, what's going to happen with the money? That's the question. Sandra's personal fortune is estimated to be $100 million.
Dude.
She stands to lose up to 50% of everything if no prenup exists, so this could be an interesting divorce.
Could.
Jesse had an empire before he married her. I wouldn't be surprised if they're a couple that goes, hey, look, we're both rich.
Right.
Let's just keep it separate.
Listen, I would imagine.
Jesse is a friend. And I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed.
Yes! Ladies and gentlemen!
Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen!
Bang! 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 It ain't hard to find either. Jesse's got himself a girl.
Dear God.
Pam Anderson.
Pam Anderson.
Is, of course, on Dancing with the Stars. Was a huge hit on Monday, the premiere of the new season. Here's the thing. Pam doesn't know who some of the other contestants are. Apparently, she doesn't spend a lot of time watching television or following gossip magazines or that kind of stuff. So
she doesn't know who they are.
She just
all?
Doesn't know who some of the people are. And she's apparently making a fool of herself backstage. Because she's saying foolish things. Like she's letting things slip. She apparently referred to Kate Gosselin as Octomom the other night.
Oh. Yeah!
Oh, wow.
Well, that's an understandable mistake, at least. I mean, both of those people are famous for the same thing. Having
Pam Anderson?
Goddamn kids.
Yeah, I know, but there's a pretty big difference between the two. And apparently Pam was having a conversation with one of the crew and was referring to, couldn't remember her name, and referred to her as Octomom. And we had to be informed that they're not the same person.
In her defense, we all follow internet entertainment sites and shows and magazines, and we don't know who half the people are.
That's
so.
True.
Oh, that's true.
I was surprised when I read that list. I really didn't know what was going on. Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, it looks like DialIdol.com, which is a website that follows the phone voting for reality TV shows and gives you a fairly reliable estimate of who is going to be voted off and who isn't, says that Aiden Turner is likely to be voted off on Monday's Dancing with the Stars.
Pam Anderson?
I don't know who Aiden Turner is.
Soap star.
Soap opera guy?
Soap guy, yeah.
Okay. That's who's probably going to get the boot, according to DialIdol.com. What they do is they use technology and they monitor the phone lines of each of the celebrities, and then by registering the busy signals, they can see how many votes are going through.
Right.
So Aiden Turner, apparently, you could get through quite easily on his phone line if you wanted to vote
for
him.
So he might be out.
Yeah. The top two people in terms of vote getters, Kate Gosselin, number one on the list. Number two, Buzz Aldrin, who was awful on that show on Monday night.
That's just a popularity contest now.
And he's a pedophile, which is even creepier.
Yeah, not a pedophile. That's ridiculous to even say that.
When he was being creepy Uncle Buzz, hitting on his 12-year-old dance partner, yep. America cringed. Listen
I'm
to this.
Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz.
When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
Yeah. I got some duct tape, and I threw it in the back of the panel van. And I stopped by Ashley's. I'm Buzz. Yeah.
He doesn't sound harmless in that clip, but there's no way to suggest that he's being anything other than a perfect gentleman.
I put on my astronaut diapers, and I took a dive. I've had some Tang. And I stopped by Ashley's house late at night. Jimmy, the window open. I'm Buzz.
It sounds like Jack Palance in that clip. Today's celebrity birthdays, Keisha Castle Hughes.
Hey.
From the Nativity Story and Whale Rider. She is 20 years old today. Why are you going high for? I believe she's from New Zealand.
Oh. That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
Lake Bell, very talented actress from How to Make It in America and Boston Legal, is 31. Indianapolis Colts quarterback Peyton Manning is 34 years old. Allison Hannigan from Buffy and How I Met Your Mother is 36. Jim Parsons, And The Big Bang Theory is 37. Boy, I like that show more and more the more I watch it. That sitcom, it's very funny. Laura Flynn Boyle is 40. Star Jones is 48. Kelly LeBrock is 50. Actor Robert Carradine of the acting Carradine family is 56. And comedian Louis Anderson is 57 years old today.
Buzz. Yeah, Louis, why don't you come over here? Yeah.
I walk the showbiz beat.
We got a black president and pot is still illegal. God damn! How scared are they of weed? They let a black guy be president before they let weed be legal. I thought it was going to be the exact opposite. I thought weed would be legal, everybody get high and just say, let's elect a black guy. See, people give pot a bad name, man, and it's because for some people, it's not the best thing in the world. All right, people like, yo, bro, built my brother's life. My brother was fine, then he started smoking weed. What about guys like him? Oh, you mean losers? Oh, yeah, let's make it illegal. By the way, let's make hammers illegal, too. Because if you don't build a house with them, you can't hit yourself in the It's always funny to me when dudes get kicked in the balls. That's it, because it's not my balls. I watched this one documentary where they taught chimpanzees the value of money. They gave them these coins, and they taught the chimps that if they give the coins back, they give them fruit. You know what the first thing the chimps did was? They gave the coins to the female chimps, and they f***ed them.
Yeah! Talking Monkeys in Space Comedy Central premiere is Saturday night at 10. Joe Rogan, the man behind the mic, joins us.
A lot of beeps. What's happening? Good morning.
How are you, Joe?
I'm wonderful. I'm here. I'm with you
guys. I'm very disappointed in you, Mr. Rogan. I got to be honest. First of all, I have an office pool that you're the next Unabomber. I'm totally convinced that you are the guy of all the people I know who's going to go off the grid and end up blowing stuff up.
I did that for four months when I moved back to civilization.
So I really thought it was great when you moved away to Colorado to live in the mountains and hunt your own food. I thought, oh, I'm so going to win this office pool because he's clearly on the way. And then I started seeing pictures of you and seeing on the TV with the big bushy, like Grizzly Adams beard. I thought he's totally heading Unabomber land. I can't wait. Then you clean up and you move back to civilization. And you shave and you look like a regular human again. I'm just thinking, oh, he was so close.
I was close. Well, you know what happened? My wife got pregnant again, so we have another baby coming. That's one of the reasons why we moved back to California. It was also she didn't like it up there.
Yeah.
I messed up and I tried to move her right into the woods. You know, I should have went move into a mountain town, you know, Boulder.
Like I did, by the way.
Yeah,
I moved to a tiny island with just a few thousand people without even a stoplight. Yet you can take a boat and in 20 minutes you're in downtown Seattle, which is a big city. So you get the best of both worlds. You could be mountain man, but she can still go to Nordstrom. That's how it works for me.
That's pretty sweet. Do you have high speed internet?
Yeah.
You have everything?
Yeah, I got it all. Right.
His mic is going again.
I don't like that whole boat thing, though. Because I don't like the tsunami thing. I watched a whole documentary about the whole northwest part of the United States, about how many times it's been smashed by tsunamis over the last few thousand years, but people have completely forgotten.
Seashells
1,000 miles inshore. You know,
is what I love about Joe. This is one of the best things about Joe. Okay, look, a lot of people listening worry about natural disasters. There are people, you know, who listen to the Kevin and Bean Show across the country who've got flood worries, they've got earthquake worries, they've got fire worries in the summer. Joe is the only guy who sits around going, you know, it hasn't happened in 600,000 years, and we're due.
Well, that's volcano. That's the caldera in Yellowstone. That's the $600,000 question. Every $600,000 to $800,000 years, it blows up and kills everything on the continent. And the last time that happened was 600,000 years. And they more than 2,000 earthquakes since January in Yellowstone. It's a giant volcano that's 600 kilometers wide. And when it blows,
everything goes.
Yeah. Why did you move back?
It's called a caldera. I had to. I'm married now. I have babies. I have this life. I'm like a regular civilian.
And he wasn't living in Yellowstone.
I was close. I had mountain lions, bears in my backyard. Mountain lion ate my dog.
Last time Joe was in, he was giving us, for reals, telling us the type of jujitsu moves he could apply to a mountain lion if it ever came down to it.
How do you fight him? You know, you got to get him on his back to freak him out. And I figure the bottom line is if you can take the pain of them biting you, they only weigh about $150. You know, $150, I'll get you on
your back.
But
they're strong.
Yeah, they're strong, but the whole thing is their actual physical weight. I mean, what are they pushing around if they're strong?
That's what I always thought about pit bulls. You know, because every once in a while you're in a bad neighborhood here in L.A., and there's a, you know, some random, you know, pit bull that's just running around. And you see it, and you know, if you think there might be a chance I have to fight this because it's you or him in the alley.
It's usually not humans, though. Pit bulls very rarely are into humans. Usually they're dog aggressive and animal aggressive. The only time they're into people is when someone's been treating them terrible. Someone's like trained them to do that.
Well, if they're an orphan pit bull in Compton, well, they've probably been treated pretty poorly.
The whole way they've been bred is to only attack people. I raised a pit bull that I got that was a fighting dog that somebody had released and left it on the streets, and then they picked it up, and a friend of mine picked it up and started feeding her, and then I brought her in. But she was super friendly to people. Loved people. Hated dogs, but loved people.
So when you took her for a walk, it was...
It was dangerous. It was
scary.
Yeah, it was dangerous. Like, I would always worry about my dog getting out of the yard and attacking things.
Sure.
But they're not bred to ever be human aggressive, because if they are human aggressive, they put them down. Because the whole idea is, the whole thing with dog fighting is they got to be able to separate them. They come in when they're fighting, and they got to be able to pull them apart, and they don't want them turning on the people. Because if you, like, take two German Shepherds and you get in the mix... And
you can
try
get
to, dog will turn on you and bite you, but pit bulls don't really do that.
I think you need to wrestle a mountain lion.
I don't think so.
The opening card on the UFC 111.
The
Why not?
Is the
this
claws.
Weekend.
The claws are the problem. What you have to do is make sure you're wearing a big, thick winter coat, and you gotta get your arm
thumb around
mouth.
Your neck.
You gotta do something about that mouth. Stop that mouth. Get something in the mouth, and then get him on his back, and then freak him out. Because the mountain lions will run away with you. That was one of the craziest things about where I lived. There was these big signs. If you are attacked by a mountain lion, fight back. If you are attacked by a bear, play dead. Like, there was like whoa. Like, you have to worry about different strategies to deal with different monsters in my neighborhood. Like, that was real stuff.
Good
but
times.
It sounds perfect for you. That sounds like how you want to live is every minute not knowing whether it's going to be your last. Hey, let me ask one more question before the break, and we come back and talk more about what's going on with our friend Joe Rogan with the comedy special and UFC 111. A lot of people have been people always look for patterns, Joe. You know this. People hate randomness.
Yes.
They always look for patterns in the world. And there have been some people lately who have been seeing all these natural disasters. They see the Chile earthquake. They see the Haiti earthquake. They see the tsunami, you know, and everything. And they start to think that it's ramping up, like we're getting more of these than ever before. Is there anything to that? Or in your mind, do you agree with me that it's just random and sometimes there's going to be more and sometimes there's going to be less? Doesn't necessarily mean we're heading toward 2012.
Well, to state conclusively one way or the other is pretty silly, because we just don't have enough data. You know, I remember when the whole Al Gore movie came out, everybody was terrified that the next hurricane season was going to be disastrous and kill everyone in Florida. And meanwhile, it was one of the mildest ones ever. I don't think we can predict it. I think that, you know, if you look at, like, the whole history of this earth, there's been gigantic disasters all over the place, but no one knows when they're coming. You know, you never know when an earthquake's going to cause the next tsunami, or a meteor is going to, you know, slam into the earth that we didn't spot coming. And those happen all the time. I mean, you know, if you really pay attention to, you know, like, science logs and, you know, read some of the websites that track asteroids, like, it happens all the time. Big, giant civilization crushers fly between Earth in the moon, and they just miss us. Just, I mean, if you, in terms of, like, in terms of, you know, the distance between us and like Jupiter, like, that's nothing. But between Earth and the moon, it's 260,000 miles, and whoosh, something flies by that would just wipe out the entire city of LA just instantly. That
so you would say,
time.
Is there, are we likely or not likely to be alive to see Talking Monkeys in Space this weekend?
Hopefully we'll be here.
No guarantees.
It's safe to say one thing. Joe Rogan is the only guy who gets baked out of his gourd and goes to an asteroid tracker.
I have, if you look at, there's one label, one area of my, I have like a collection of DVDs that's just doom. It's all doom. It's
awesome.
All earthquakes, volcanoes, monsters.
This is the
everything.
Guy who's going to be a dad for a second time now.
It's all
going to be fun for your
them.
Girls.
Joe Rogan is here. We're taking your calls for him. If you'd like to weigh in at 1-800-520-1067, we'll return with Joe right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Tonight, viva la música y summer nights. Además, todos sus espectáculos favoritos, incluso Blue Horizons, nuestro todo...
We're still on the air nationwide, guys, so please, if you guys could hold your chatter and just
it's
work on that behind
man.
The scenes. What I'm saying is we're still on
it's
the
so
air
funny.
Nationwide, so we should continue, is my point. Can nobody hear me either? Can nobody hear me?
Okay. Oh, we are?
Yeah, that's... All right. We'll work this out with all the people in the studio and take a quick break and return with more with our friend Joe Rogan right after this on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
It's the government. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, it's funny. We log thousands and thousands and thousands of hours every year on the air, and we never go off the air except when Joe Rogan is here. And I think there may be a conspiracy theory somewhere. Hey, Joe, we're going to go to some calls here in a moment at 1-800-520-1067, but I have to ask for your take on a topic we discussed last hour.
There are a lot of people in this country who say, don't fill out your census form because the government is going to use that information too, and then fill in the blank. Take my guns away, have me deported, round me up and put
Indians.
Me in an internment camp, round up the Indians because they're a bit of trouble. What any reason you have in your crazy conspiracy world to not fill out the census form, or are you cool with
I'm
the government
lazy.
Getting that information?
I don't care how many people there are. You don't control the world, stupid. There's 6 billion of us, you know?
Right.
Stop pretending this stupid little census is going to change anything. You know, I mean, the great mass of humanity is completely out of control at this point. But I don't think that the government is, you know, everybody acts like the government is like one evil entity that, you know, communicates with itself. You know, there's no way the census could be ever used. I mean, there's too many things going on they're trying to control. Without a doubt, the government tries to do something to control behavior, but that's just so that they can make money. I mean, that's mm-hmm. really what it's all about. And, you know, the idea that there's like this gigantic global conspiracy to try to eliminate 80% of the population, and, you know, that's a lot of it is just people are really freaking out about the reality of life, the reality that this is completely temporary, and we
right.
all plan for the future, but. You know, you start getting gray hairs and you start, like, not being able to read small print. You're like, oh, whoa, I'm dying, like, slowly. Like,
yeah.
That's what's going on in my life right now. I'm starting to, like, read things on my phone and I gotta, like, squint and turn my head sideways. I'm like, oh, okay, stuff's starting to fail. And so instead, you want to think about the government. You know, you want to start thinking about, you know, oh, you know, 911, man, those buildings fell at free fall speed. And, you know, dedicating your whole life to try to prove they weren't really planes that hit the Pentagon and all that stuff.
It's about control, too. It's somehow trying to have control.
It's distractions, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
We
enjoy distractions, you know.
So if you don't fill out the census, it's not going to be because you don't want to give the government what they want. It's going to be because you're lazy and you'd rather smoke
well,
it.
It's like this. No, it's not even that. I don't do that. I do that every day. I smoke pot for very specific reasons. I smoke pot before I write jokes, before I tell jokes, before I have sex, before I have food, before I do jiu-jitsu. But I use it
but
like, as a tool.
That.
But I use it as a tool. I don't just say, hey, man, I'm just going to sit around and smoke pot. Like, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I really do have, like, a reason for when I do it.
Sure.
I use
All right, let's take some of our calls because time is a-wasting. 1-800-520-1065. I know we did.
Broadcasting static.
Why don't we try? Let's try Patrick with a great question on line two. I don't know that I heard this follow up either. Patrick, hi, you're on the air with Joe Rogan. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Patrick?
Hey, I just want to know about your isolation tape. Whatever happened with it. I know you were doing like a raffle, or you're trying to give it away.
Yeah, I gave it away to a dude in San Diego.
Really?
What happened was, if anybody doesn't know, I'm a big proponent of a thing called the sensory deprivation tank. And what it is, it's a tank that allows you to have psychedelic experiences without any drugs. And you climb into this tank, and the tank's filled with water, and the water's heated up to the same temperature as your skin, and there's 800 pounds of salt in the water, so you're really buoyant. You float. It's, like, really incredible. You just lie down, and you feel like you're weightless. And it's total darkness. You close the lid on this thing. You don't see anything. You don't hear anything because your ears are underwater. You don't feel anything because the water, being the same temperature as your skin, once you, like, relax with the fact that you're lying in water, you don't feel it anymore. You literally feel nothing. So you
wow.
have no sensory input. And in the absence of sensory input, your brain becomes supercharged. It's really incredible. It's like, we don't realize that we're dealing with distractions all the time. Like when the guy came in to fix the thing.
When
we went off the air, we were all having a conversation. This dude came in and started talking, and all of a sudden we couldn't concentrate on what we were saying.
Right.
Well, life is a giant distraction for your mind. You're constantly receiving sensory input. You're constantly receiving social cues. Even sitting in a chair, my ass is communicating with this chair. I'm getting
right.
senses. You know what I mean? When you take all that away, literally that environment doesn't exist anywhere in the world except in a sensory deprivation tank. And you find
it's
out.
It's like being back in the womb, right?
Yeah, similar, but, you know, you don't have to worry about your mom bumping into furniture, you know? It's like,
but let me ask you this, Joe. And by the way, the reason you got rid of your tank is because you
got
upgraded.
A new
you got
one.
A, you
yeah,
got
I got
new,
a
right?
new one. Floatlab.com, if you want to get one. There's a dude in Venice that's the master, this dude, Craig.
Is there a place you can go and just try it out?
Yes, Floatlab in Venice. There's
oh,
a bunch
cool.
of places. If you live in other parts of the country, if you
I
just
do that.
Google where to float. You should have one, dude. You got some cheddar.
Really?
Yeah, put one in your basement. It's amazing.
I'm looking at that. That does sound pretty cool.
Actually do it.
I do it all the time. It's in my basement. I just
and
go whenever I want.
Here's my question. You say your brain gets supercharged. Do you feel like there is a lasting effect from that?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It accelerates your evolution as a human being. For sure, it lets you think about things in a much deeper sense.
Is there any panic that you might drown or something
no.
like that?
No.
my wife in it and make it look like an accident.
You can do anything one if more, you're really clever
one
enough.
One more quick question on isolation tanks. Now, you said that you feel like there's a brain magnifying powers to
yes.
doing this.
Do you because think there's that, no, you have all the resources of the brain.
Right. Now, do you think that living in a place like L.A. or, yes. or New York City stifling. Degrades your ability yes. to, because it's nothing but
That's why I moved to the mountains. I moved to the mountains because I wanted sort of an organic sensory deprivation tank.
All right.
You know, I mean, I think it's one of those things that it was developed in the 50s. There's a guy named John Lilly who's this crazy psychedelic pioneer who used to take acid and talk to dolphins. He's a... like a pioneer of interspecies communication, like really learned
wow.
a lot about dolphins from these experiences. I mean, there's things that you can bring back from psychedelic trips that are applicable and really do help your regular life. And to me, the most effective thing is the isolation tank, because you don't have to worry about your house catching on fire and you're too high to notice it. Like, it's right. like, it's a normal, you know what I mean? It's like, you take like DMT or you take, you know, psilocybin mushrooms. There's a very real biological thing that's happening to you that you cannot stop. And that's why people have bad trips, you know, because you're freaking out. You try to stop this, you know, weird, you know, literally dimension shattering experience. Well, the isolation tank, it's completely natural. It's you're allowing your brain to tune into Mother Gaia. Like, you're allowing your consciousness to tap into the river of information that the universe provides. It's very strange.
I definitely want to try that.
You should try it.
You have to do it more than once, though.
You have to. The thing about it is you got to get comfortable with the experience. It's like, you know, when Buddhist monks learn how to meditate, you don't just get really awesome at it and achieve a Zen state instantly. You know, it takes a long time to try to relax and get comfortable with this. And
because what it sounds like taking a vacation, and the reason I say that is like I was in Mexico last week, okay, and just the act of not being in my house with my stuff, not having my dogs to look after, not having the chores and the things that I have to do every day, not being online, even those things, you feel the difference in your brain once you release all of that stuff. And it sounds like what you're talking about doing downstairs in your basement is that times 100.
Yeah, and I do it all the time. So it's like it's an amazing feeling to like let everything go in your mind and reevaluate your entire life. It's like you get it's like a seminar on your brain. But that seminar lasts for like the first half hour or so, and then since I've been doing it for years and years and years, then things start getting very strange, because the more you do it, then the more you have like hallucinations.
Part?
Well, it's good for me. For some people, it would be very frightening because they don't want to have these sort of psychedelic trips.
I'm not going to like what I find in my head, I'll tell you that.
At least I thought she was dead after a corner of her pot brownie, so.
Yeah, I have really bad reaction.
We've discussed that before about how eating pot is very dangerous.
All right, let me recap all the Joe Rogan in for before he goes, because as always, the time flies when Mr. Rogan is here, and I apologize we didn't have time to get to more calls. But Talking Monkeys in Space airs on Comedy Central this Saturday night. Please buy the DVD when it goes on sale next Tuesday with tons of extras. It looks awesome. UFC 111 is this Saturday night, live from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. Get that on pay-per-view and UFC.com. And Joe, I guess we'll see you in person next at April Fool's Nest.
I'm
April 3rd
fired
Gibson
up
Amphitheater.
For that. That's an awesome lineup that you guys have. And last year was so much fun. I can't
so
wait.
So much fun. We're so excited. We're going to be giving away more tickets as we get closer to that event, because it is, of course, completely sold out. And we raised just hundreds of thousands of dollars for great local charities as a result of that show. JoeRogan.net is where you want to go. Joe has been doing so much great stuff.
Follow me on Twitter. I'm very insecure about my Twitter account. I'm so close to 100,000.
Yeah.
I'm like 500 away or something.
Joe, your blog has been great, too. You've been doing a lot of blogging. You've been doing the Ustream podcast and everything like that.
Yeah,
I mean, you're really
on GQ.com this week, too. I had to promote
that.
The video.
You're giving it back to the fans, man. That's real cool.
Well,
of
it's
you.
Fun stuff, and you know, it's also a part of the creative process. Like, one of the best parts of the creative process is, you know, when you interact with people and you do like Ustream podcasts, stuff like that, you're covering more topics, like more in depth, and you're doing it in a different way than just sitting alone in your computer writing. You know,
JoeRogan.net is the site. Joe, we love you. We'll see you on April 3rd, man. Thanks
Thank
for
you
stopping
very much.
By. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat, and then we're going to talk to a Kevin and Bean listener who says that his coworker with Asperger's told him something that saved his life. See, Ralph?
Nope.
Good things could happen when you work with somebody with the Asperger's.
Nope.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
how many lives
story.
Have been taken, though, by a guy who worked with Asperger's by the people who work with him? How many self-inflicted gunshot wounds for people who have to work with a guy with Asperger's every day?
I don't
how
have
many
that
suicides?
Information on my fingertips. I'm
yeah,
sorry to
exactly.
say.
Exactly.
Anyway, we'll
what
talk
I'm
to Bill coming up right now. Time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
Sandra Bullock and Jesse James. Apparently, that marriage is over, barring a miracle, says a friend close to the couple. This comes from several sources, different tabloid magazines, but apparently friends of the couple are saying it's not just the cheating, but who he cheated with that Sandra cannot believe. After several bad relationships, Sandra thought she had found her Prince Charming. Turns out he was just another frog, says one friend.
How are women judgmental?
You sleep with one tattooed Nazi girl, and all of a sudden...
the marriage is off.
Yeah, now, yeah, let's break up. Well, Jesse could leave a little richer than he entered the relationship. Sandra is worth over $100 million, and no word whether there was a prenup or not. So, cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
That buys a lot of tattooed Nazi girls. 50 mil. Tom Hanks may take Green Day's American Idiot Broadway musical and turn it into a movie musical. Hanks has a production company called Playtone that he runs along with Gary Getzman, and they are interested in turning the musical into a feature film, according to sources. That would be interesting. I think maybe the first time an album ever became a Broadway motion, a Broadway play, and then became a motion picture. Hmm. Of course, American Idiot is the Smash Green Day album that currently is enjoying success on the big stage. Hanks has a little experience in this line of work. It was Playtone that took Mamma Mia off the stage and put that on the screen, and I had no idea, but Mamma Mia earned over $600 million for Universal Pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a huge hit for Universal. Wow. One of the top Universal money-making films of all time.
I want a good movie.
If you want to see American Idiot on Broadway, it officially opens on April the 20th. And reviews from the California tryout here were excellent. So people looking forward to checking that out. The Gorillaz are in trouble. Apparently they were on stage in Portsmouth in the UK when Damon Albarn, who of course celebrated his birthday yesterday, he lit up, had a cigarette in front of the crowd. Well, apparently there is some sort of ordinance in Portsmouth that says you can't smoke on stage. And so the anti-smoking group Action on Smoking and Health are calling for the prosecution of the Gorillaz.
Sure.
The law is very clear. It's not just illegal, but more importantly, it sends a message to the fans. People in the public eye have a duty not to smoke, they say. So it remains to see whether the city of Portsmouth will fine each of the band members £1,000. We'll have to wait and see if they mind coughing that up, but they probably won't.
Ralph, you didn't follow in the footsteps of so many ex-smokers to turn violently against those who still smoke. And
Not at all.
I respect you for that.
I think it's BS. Here in California, they're currently trying to pass a, you can't smoke in any park or beach in the state.
It passed.
It's already passed?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, I don't know how they're going to enforce it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not illegal. It's not an illegal act to do that.
I know.
They say, well, it causes a lot of litter. Well, then make stronger littering laws.
Yeah.
But people, people drop soda cans, I'm sure, too, in state parks when they're eating. And you can't, like, not drink a soda in a national park. And that's litter, too, if you drop a can behind you, right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's insane. They're trying to go about the wrong way to end smoking. And like being said, I am an ex-smoker and I am no fan of smoking. But, you know, attack the tobacco companies.
Right.
Attack the cigarette companies. You want to make it illegal, then make the act illegal. But don't attack the people who are doing something.
And the only reason they won't do that, not to get back into Joe Rogan territory here, is that the cigarette, tobacco companies, hundreds of millions of dollars of donations to politicians and their campaigns.
Absolutely.
So they don't want to punish them.
Of course not. They want to punish the people who buy the cigarettes.
The legal product, right.
And I have no problem with taxing the ass off of cigarettes either. I paid my taxes gladly when they kept raising it and raising it, and money was going towards cancer research, whatever. It's perfectly understandable. I think if you want to smoke, then you got to pay the price. But you shouldn't make it illegal just to have a cigarette, for what that's worth. Matthew Vaughn, very talented director, just directed Kick-Ass that comes out shortly, which I saw recently and loved. We'll talk more about that.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
It was good, Christian Bale. Thank you. Claudia Schiffer is his wife, and he tells the San Francisco Chronicle that marrying a supermodel isn't all a day at the beach, especially when you have to deal with crazed stalkers. He says he lives in fear for his wife's safety. The worst one so far was the morning he got up, went down to the kitchen table, and there was a stalker sitting at the table, had broken into the house.
That's insane.
Is bizarre.
That's bad.
Yeah.
He said his first urge was to come unglued, pick up something heavy, and hit the guy. But he said he resisted the urge, offered to make him a cup of tea while the pot was boiling the water. He made a casual call to the authorities, and they showed up to take care of their new family friend. Here's the thing, the guy came back for a second time. Later on, had to be arrested again and spent some time in prison. So
wow.
Maybe he should have taken care of him the first time. That's all I'm saying.
How do you mean by take care of them?
You know, like you did that rooster that one time. Remember when you killed that rooster?
I didn't kill any rooster.
Did the rooster die at your behest?
No.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Okay.
It was my neighbor's choice to kill the rooster. No, absolutely. You didn't say to do something with the rooster, right? That wasn't you.
Take
care of the rooster.
That's what you said.
I did say, can you take care of the rooster? Because the damn rooster was cock-a-doodle-doo, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m.
You said that. Was not the rooster found dead after that?
The rooster died of natural causes,
no,
is my
I don't
story.
Believe so. No, he's like Michael Corleone.
Because he lost his head.
Yeah. It's like Michael Corleone in front of the congressional people asking questions group. Today's celebrity birthdays. Louis Anderson is 57 years old today. Actor Robert Carradine is 56. Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah.
Weird Science. She's 50 years old today. She's also the lady in red. Remember that with Gene Wilder?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You can see her bush in that movie.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Thanks for adding.
It's rad.
Couldn't be off the air now, could we? No such luck. Star Jones is 48 years old. Laura Flynn Boyle is 40. Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory is 37. Allison Hannigan from How I Met Your Mother. She is 36 years old. Indianapolis Colts quarterback Peyton Manning is 34. Lake Bell celebrates her 31st birthday. And Keisha Castle Hughes from Whale Rider and the Nativity Story is 20. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dirty Heads.
Hey!
Featuring Rome. Thank you. Lay me down on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. It is 925. I don't know how it happened, but in recent years, Asperger's syndrome has become the hottest dramatic device on television. You almost can't turn on a TV show these days without seeing something to do with Asperger's.
Well, you made it so popular by promoting it with your own Asperger's here on the show.
This past weekend, 60 Minutes did a story about a kid with Asperger's who decided he saw the bank foreclosures and the melting market collapse 2 years before everybody else. He's got the Asperger's, and he made $750 million in 2007 taking out insurance on those big loans that failed.
Wow.
Here's how 60 Minutes described the Asperger's syndrome.
Asperger's syndrome, a condition related to autism that often produces an aversion to social contact.
I know what he's talking about.
Yes,
community, a couple of weeks ago, talking about somebody on the show with Asperger's.
Well, you have Asperger's.
Asperger.
It's a serious disorder.
It really is.
So serious, why aren't they called meningitis? Asperger.
Parenthood's got a storyline with a kid on the show diagnosed with Asperger's. Some of our listeners believe that I have the Asperger's.
Dean Baxter. Dean Baxter. That's what an Asperger's all about.
And you guys are always complaining about me saying that I don't understand social interaction and I say things that nobody cares about and don't care whether the topic is being well received.
Yes.
I just blah, 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 blah. That's your complaint about me all the time, right?
Yes.
I give you too much information that isn't interesting to anybody, right? Is that what you're saying? Is that the point you're trying to make?
Why is Formica so easy to clean?
Well, let's bring Kevin and Bean listener Bill onto the show, who has had a similar experience to y'all. He used to work with a guy with the Asperger's syndrome, and let's see how that played out in his life. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. What's the deal? Tell me about the former coworker of yours who had the Asperger's.
Yeah, years ago, I used to work with this dude who had Asperger's. We worked with developmentally disabled adults, and which was kind of ironic. And every day he would come in and spout some sort of nonsense, and we had a standing rule, which was ignore him.
Yes, that's our rule, too. But it doesn't help. He keeps spouting.
Exactly. So one day he comes in, and he's talking about the magical properties of water and that it doesn't compress. And the water is so fantastic that if you shoot it with a gun, the bullet will explode. And within 6 feet, you're safe. So even if the bullet doesn't explode, within 6 feet, you can pretty much touch it, and you're fine. And I don't know why I tuned in that day. Didn't matter. Whatever. So about a couple weeks, maybe a month later, I'm at a buddy's, it's one of those complexes with the center pool.
Mm-hmm.
And me and a bunch of my friends were hanging out. We're swimming, whatever. This dude busts into the gate with a gun, starts screaming about some chick.
Oh,
and we freeze. Just total deer in the headlights pause. And then he starts to shoot.
Oof.
I just roll into the pool. And as soon as I hit that water, the first thing that goes through my mind is what this dude was saying, which is 6 feet underwater, you're fine. Deep breath, bottom of the pool. And sure enough, I guess, I don't know if he was shooting at me or just shooting. Anyway, I look up and you can kind of see the water, and I see like some big splashes, and it's metal confetti.
So bullets went into the pool, but because they weren't close enough to you, the water slowed it down to the point where it never could hit you.
No, as soon as it hit the water, they just shattered.
Yeah.
They just shattered when it hit the water. And I'm just, like, I'm trying to stay in the bottom of the pool. I want to breathe. I'm just, like, panicked. And I'm just watching this metal confetti come down to the bottom of the pool.
So I
swim up to the surface because I got to breathe.
Right.
And it's just unbelievable carnage. There's people everywhere. No. I got friends of mine are just in all sorts of messed up shape. And the only thing going through my mind was, damn, that guy was right.
I hate to admit that.
Asperger saved your life, Bill.
It's true.
Asperger saved my life. And to this day, I wish I could remember that dude's name because I would write him an email and thank him and then tell him to stop talking.
he wouldn't want to hear from you, even if you had his email address. He wouldn't want any contact from you.
Here's the thing.
You've had like it's like everybody says about everybody as a minority that they pick on. Oh, he's one of the good ones. This guy was one of the good Asperger people. They're very few. Bean doesn't give us any useful information like that.
Not so far.
Did you know that Thunder Island's Jay Ferguson wrote the Office theme? We got that kind of stuff. How's that going to save my life?
Well, maybe if you spill chicken on a counter and it's for Michael, you'll remember it's really easy.
There you go, Bill.
That's not going to save my life, Bill.
Look at the bright stuff. Bill, that is an unbelievably awesome story. Hang on. We want to give you a Kevin and Bean t-shirt for coming on with us. We really do appreciate it. Ralph, you don't know what's going to happen. You know what the future is, man. One day you're going to be in a situation you're going to go, Bean was right, there is no one named Millicent anymore. Who knows? That might save your life.
I know where the largest cement pecan is located. It's not going to help me save my life.
We'll see. This be the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. Ralph Garman is here, and he is talking about what?
Such a good loss last night. That's what I'm talking about.
So good.
I'm trying to see if we can get Nestor Carbonell to come on the show and talk about his performance because I was blown away.
And he's a guy who does an age guy with the eyeliner all over his face, right?
Richard Alpert is the character's name, and we got his backstory as to why he has been Jacob's right hand man for hundreds of years and why he doesn't age and all that kind of good stuff. And the emotional range this guy showed last night as an actor was remarkable. For a supporting character on a series, you almost never get the opportunity that he got to really kind of command an entire episode.
When he's chained up in that ship, you really felt like he was going insane.
It was tremendous. But we found out last night that the island is not hell. So all of you, those of you who held on to that theory.
That was an early theory, remember, when the show first started, right?
Not the case.
I will say one thing about Lost. There have been a lot of things that it has done brilliantly over the years it's been on the air. One of them is, from the get-go, the casting has been amazing on that show. There are a half a dozen great characters and great actors on that show, at least. And that's, you can't say that about a lot of shows.
No, they get good actors. Even the guest starring roles on those shows are all good actors.
What about when Hurley was talking to his wife?
I know!
What was that?
I know! Anyway, if you missed it last night, you missed a great show. Speaking of TV news, Zach Braff, as Joan Rivers once called him, is telling us that Scrubs is over.
Zombie Scrubs?
Talked about it on his Facebook page today. New Scrubs, Scrubs 2.0, Scrubs with new kids, Scrubbier, Scrubs without JD, as he referred to it, is no more. It was worth a try, but alas, it didn't work. ZB, he posted today, so looks like
it's... Does that mean it's been canceled? Is that what we're hearing
from?
Yeah, okay.
It's going away. Another show that's going away, Till Death, the sitcom starring Brad Garrett of Everyone Loves Raymond fame.
I can't believe it lasted as long as it did.
Four seasons.
Unbelievable.
He's got no complaints that show lasted four seasons for him because it was hard to watch. Not as hard as Two and a Half Men, but still hard.
I'm sure my dad is devastated. It's on CBS, right?
No, Fox.
Oh, wow. Yeah, sounds like a CBS show.
So Death was on Fox. So, apparently, he told ZapToIt.com, the entertainment news website, the other night we got a 0.8 rating. If your mom stops watching, then you get a 0.4. The network said, what do you suggest? I said, if you give me one more month, I can take you to a zero. There was dead silence. So, apparently, no more. Paula Abdul is back in talks with another network about doing yet another reality series set in the world of entertainment. Of course, she famously left Fox's American Idol, then was in talks with ABC to bring back Star Search. Now, apparently, she's talking to NBC about a new show set in the world of flash mob dancing.
What?
You familiar with the flash mobs?
Yep.
They show up at a venue or an event, and they just look like a crowd, then suddenly they burst into a perfectly synchronized dance routine. Well, this would be Paula Abdul and choreographer Kenny Ortega choreographing mass dance sequences in public locations, punking everyone who's on looking.
How is that a show?
It isn't.
I mean, if you've seen it, if you see it one time, you go, okay, that's kind of neat.
I mean, they're kind of cool YouTube videos.
Yeah, but you don't want to see it over and over again.
No.
I guess it would be, you know, based on the events and locations that these people would flash mob dance on you.
Okay. So Paula is in or out on that show?
She's talking to him about it. I can't imagine they're going to offer enough money to do that, because she's turned down big, big checks from American Idol and from the Star Search people.
Right.
So, I don't know what's going to happen.
And what role would she play in a show like that? You know what
host.
I'm saying? Like,
oh. She wants to host and choreograph. That would be her role.
That's crap.
Yeah. Speaking of TV news, someone told me last night, as you know, I'm not watching the American Idol.
Right.
I have taken this year off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe forever. I don't know. It is kind of freeing to have that time back.
I agree.
It's 3 hours of my life I can do whatever I want with.
Is there at least Hot Poon on this season?
No.
No.
No. In fact, the leader, your girl, is a girl who's got some honked up teeth and smelly dreadlocks.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the homeless chick.
She performed last night, and she sings like this. And she performed last night, Me and Bobby McGee.
Oh, no.
What a shocker. What a surprise there. Sorry, I missed Miley Cyrus night with her singing Me and Bobby McGee. That was the highlight of the evening, apparently. But dialidol.com, which is the website that monitors the votes as they go through the phone lines, and give you an idea of who's getting the votes. Say she was number one by far after last night's performance show. So there you go.
Pam Anderson.
And by the way, she is talented, but on almost any other season, she wouldn't be in the top three.
Right.
Let's face it.
Right. That same website, dialidol.com, also monitors the voting from the public for Dancing with the Stars. And 24 million people tuned in for the premiere of that show on Monday night, which was good news for Castle, my beloved Castle, by the way, because it pushed the ratings for that show up. The follow-up ratings were huge for that show, too, and
well,
it beat up CSI Miami, which I was very happy to see.
Hey, how about producer Alex spending a little less time doing whatever it is she does and a little more time getting Nathan Fillion on the Kevin and Bean show, by
the
way?
Yeah, he'd be good
how
to have
that?
On. Because we already had Stana Katic on, and she was
right.
Terrific.
Oh, yeah. I love Nathan, too.
He's adorable, and he's very good on that show and a very personable guy. But Dancing with the Stars, Monday night, we had the monitoring, again, of the phone lines. And apparently, as bad as he was, Buzz Aldrin got the second most call-in votes, according to this website. So he is probably going to be safe this week. He will not be voted off. Of course, he did pull in the huge pedophile audience, too. That was a big part of it.
A lot of Boy Scout leaders and priests.
Guys,
come on.
Guys who linger around schoolyards in trench coats holding Rolos in their pockets and, you know, M&M's and Hershey's Kisses and stuff to give out to
his
the kids.
His dance partner is in her 20s, by the way. He's hardly a pedophile.
Well, listen to this and you tell me.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz.
When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
Yeah. Can't wait till I tie her up and get her in the woods in that shack that I built just for these occasions. I'm Buzz.
Yeah. I just like how he touches young kids all around this world.
Oh,
you know?
Come on. That's not true.
Slather up with vegetable oil and then touch her.
I've got some tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of a little movie called Clash of the Titans. How do you like me now? I cannot wait for this movie. I'm going to go see it next week. The little advanced screening. I'm very excited.
We have a winner.
I didn't even ask the questions yet. Clash of the Titans, as you know, has been made into a movie before, but it's based on the Greek mythology. It's based on the Greek myth of Perseus, who had to go forth and slay the Medusa, she who would turn you to stone with her steely gaze, her snake head, and Cassiopeia and Andromeda and all those chicks. So anyway, here's the trivia question. Perseus, of course, is the human lead in the story. He's dealing with the gods on Mount Olympus. Who is Perseus' dad? Give me a hint. It's a Greek god. Who is Perseus' dad? If you know the answer, call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five people to get through get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere here in Hollywood, California, of Clash of the Titans. Cannot wait to see that movie. Let's talk about showbiz birthdays, shall we? Louis Anderson is 57 years old.
Sam Anderson?
No, Louis Anderson. who I do see kickboxing from time to time in my
That's
gym.
Unbelievable. How's that go?
That's spectacular. It's the funniest thing ever. He's actually a very funny guy and a very nice guy, and he recognizes that him kickboxing is a little ridiculous.
Right.
But he always says,
yeah, this is my second choice for a career. I was going to be a jockey.
That's his favorite joke about kickboxing.
He's former host of the Family Feud, right?
That's right.
Here's Louis Anderson, yeah.
He is one of the top moneymakers in Las Vegas, Nevada when it comes to draws as comedians.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow,
draws huge crowds in Las Vegas. He's 57 years old today. Robert Carradine, very talented actor of the Carradine family. He is 56 years old. Actress Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah.
Celebrates her 50th birthday. Someone told me in an email this week, because we've been talking about Kelly on her birthday, that she has not aged well, apparently. She's not looking too good these days.
She got
beefy.
Well,
she got brawny.
She did put on
Kathleen Turner disease.
She did Celebrity Fit Club a couple seasons ago, and she has gotten bigger, but she's still, in my opinion, very beautiful.
Yeah.
But she's a little beefy.
I haven't seen her. Are you following K-Fat on the Fit Club?
I have been.
Dude ran a marathon, they had a marathon, their quote, marathon course.
Right.
This week. And he only made about halfway through and stopped and pulled out his smokes and just had a big, sat down and had a big smoke on the side of the marathon track.
There's a lot of messes on that show this season.
There are. Star Jones is 48. Laura Flynn Boyle is 40. Fat. She should go on that show.
Fat.
Celebrity Pickup. That Laura Flynn Boyle. Oh.
Disgusting.
Huge.
What a tub.
Oh,
what a tub.
God. She's in danger of a stroke. Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory is 37. Allison Hannigan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is 36. Peyton Manning, QB for the Indianapolis Colts, is 34 years old. Lake Bell turns 31, and Keisha Castle Hughes turns 20 years old. Do we have
hold everything? We've got a winner.
We have an answer to my trivia question.
Looks like we do.
Brandon, you want to go to Brandon on line 7 there? Brandon.
Yes.
Brandon, who is Perseus's Greek godfather?
Zeus.
The big man. You're absolutely right. Hold on, we're going to give you the details, but you're going to the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Buzz. Why don't you come and sit next to me in the theater? I'm Buzz.
Thanks for calling in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And don't forget to join us tomorrow for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have one of our all-time favorite guests making a return appearance, the very funny comedian. You know him from The Office. He's in the Hot Tub Time Machine. Craig Robinson will be here.
So that's
what I'm talking about.
Saw the movie last night.
Oh, you saw Hot Tub Time Machine.
Saw it last night.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
Craig is amazing in this film. We have a lot to talk about.
And what's his name, Lisa? Craig Robinson?
Craig Wilson.
I
don't know what is wrong with you people. Why you can't get his name straight.
He's going to be joining us tomorrow. Also, we're going to do some follow-up conversation on Joe Rogan got us excited about the sensory deprivation tanks. We're going to need to hear from you tomorrow if you've used them. Find out if it's something that we ought to try, because Joe does make it sound like absolute nirvana.
He does.
So, try that. Why do I keep getting solicitation calls on my cell phone? I thought that was illegal. We've got some help for that. Matt Money Smith will be here with a preview of the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
it's happening starting tomorrow. What's new with KISS and new rules in the NFL? They don't make rule changes very often in that league, but there is a big one that is causing some debate. We got all that for you right here tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Cat Corbett's next here on K-Rock with Pearl Jam. Also, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, and the new one from Chevelle. That's all straight ahead right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.